जय विशुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर सदस्य श्रीमान अभिचरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी हरशील प्रभुपाद की जय नित्यलीला प्रविष्ट विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर सदस्य श्रीमान भक्त सिद्धांत सरस्वती हरशील प्रभुपाद की अनंतकोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य शील हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोविनाथ श्याम गुंड राधा कुंडगिरी गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगा माई की यमुना माई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की गौर प्रेमानंदे ऑल ग्लोरियस टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू श्री श्री गुरुवन श्री गौरांग ऑल ग्लोरियस टू शील प्रभुपाद नमामुष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रसाय भूदले श्रीमदे भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिधि नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रजारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशधारिणे ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय संसार सागरे मग्नम दीनम मां करुणानिधि कर्मग्राह गृहीतांगम मां उद्धर भवार्णवाल श्रीमद्भागवदाख्योऽयं प्रत्यक्ष कृष्णमेव हि स्वीकृतोऽसि मया नाथ मुक्त्यर्थं भवसागरे मनोरथे मदीयोऽयं सफलः सर्वदा त्वया निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यं दासोऽहं तव केशव भवे भवे यथा भक्ति पादयोस्तव जायते तथा कुरुष्व देवेश नाथस्त्वं नो यद प्रभो नाम संकीर्तनम यस्य सर्वपाप प्रणाशनम प्रणामो दुःखशमन तं नमामि हरिं परम जन्माद्यस्य यदोन्वयादितरतश्चार्थेष्वभिज्ञस्वरान् तेने ब्रह्महृदाय आदिकवये मुह्यन्दियल् सूरयाम् तेजोवारिमृदं यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषा धाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तकुहकं सत्यं परं धीमहि धर्म प्रोज्जित कैदवोत्र परमो निर्मल्सराणां सदां वेद्यं वा सोमत्र वस्तु शिवदं तावत्त्रयोन्मूलनम् श्रीमद्भागवते महामुनिकृते किं वा वरैरीश्वर सद्यो हृद्यवरुद्यदेत्र कृतिभिः शुश्रूषुभिः तल्क्षणाल् निगमकल्पतरोर्गलितं फलं शुकमुखाद् अमृतद्रवसंयुतं पिबद भागवतं रसमालयं मुहुरहो रसिका भुवि भावुकाः सच्चिदानन्दरूपाय विशोल्पत्यादिहेतवे तावत्रय विनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नुमः यं प्रव्रजन्तमनुपेतमपेतकृत्यं द्वैवाहिनो विरहकादरमाजुहाव पुत्रेति तन्मयदयत्तरवोऽभिनेदुक्तं सर्वभूतहृदयं मुनिमानतोऽस्मि यस्वानुभावमखिलश्रुतिसारमेकम् अध्यात्मदीपमतिथितीर्षदां तमोन्धं संसारिणां करुणयाः पुराणगुह्यं तं व्याससूनुमुपयामि गुरुं मुनीनां नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जयमुदीरयेल् कमनीयकिशोरमुग्धमूर्ते कलवेणुकुणिदातृदाननेन्दोः मम उवाचि विजृम्भता मुरारे मधुरीं न कणिगापि कापि कापि नम ओं विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिधि नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रजारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशधारिणे श्रीमद्गुरुचरणारविन्दाभ्यां नमः वंदे नंदव्रजस्त्रीणां पादरेणुमभीष्टशा यासां हरिगतोद्गीतं पुनादीभुवनत्रयं गोपीचरणारविन्द परमानवे नमः पीतांबरं करविराजित शङ्खचक्रं कौमोदकी सरसिजं करुणासमुद्रं राधासहायमतिसुन्दरमन्दहासं वातालेशमनिशं हृदि भावयामि कोमलं कुजयन् वेणुं श्यामलोयं कुमारका वेदवेद्यपरं ब्रह्म वासदां पुरतो मम मूगं करोति वाचालं पङ्गं लङ्घयति गिरिं यल्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवं श्रीकृष्णाय नमः श्रीमति राधिकायै नमः सर्वत्र गोविन्दनाम सङ्कीर्तनं गोविन्द गोविन्द ओम पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितं भगवदां नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितं पुराण मुनिनां मध्ये महाभारतं अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणी भगवती अष्टादशाध्यायिनी अम्ब त्वामनुसन्ददामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी नमोस्तुते व्यास विशाल बुद्धे फुल्लारविन्दायत पत्रनेत्र येन त्वया भारत तैल पूर्ण प्रज्वालितो ज्ञानमय प्रदीप प्रपन्न पारिजाताय तोत्रवेत्रैकवाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुहे नमः सर्वौवंशदो गावो दुग्धा गोपालनन्दना पार्थोवत्ससुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतं महत् वसुदेवसुतं देवं कंसचाणूरमर्दनं देवगी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुं भीष्मद्रोणदडाजयद्रथजलागान्धारनीलोत्पला शल्यग्राहवती कृपेण वहनी कर्णेन वेलाकुला अश्वत्थामाविकर्णघोरमकरा दुर्योधनावर्तिनी सोत्तीर्ण खलु पाण्डवैरणनदी कैवर्तक केशवा पाराशर्यवजसरोजममलं गीतार्थगन्धोत्कटं नानाख्यानकेसरं हरिकथा सम्बोधनाबोधितं लोकैः सज्जनशल्पदैरहरह पेबीयमानं मुदा भूयाद्भारतपङ्कजकलिमलप्रध्वंसिन श्रेयसे मूकं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयति गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम् यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुदस्त्वन्वन्दि दिव्यैस्तवैर्वेदैः साङ्गपदैः क्रमौपनिषदैर्गायन्ति यं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थितद्गदेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनो यस्यान्तं न विदुः सुरासुरगणैः देवाय तस्मै नमः सर्वत्र गोविन्द नाम सङ्कीर्तनम् गोविन्द गोविन्द योऽन्तः प्रविश्य मम वाचमिमां प्रसुप्तां सञ्जीवयत्यखिल शक्तिधरस्वधाम्ना अन्यांश हस्तचरणश्रवणां त्वगादीन् प्राणान् नमो भगवते पुरुषाय तुभ्यं भूतैर्महद्भिर्यै मा पुरो विभोर्धर्माय शेदेयदमोषु पुरुषा भुङ्क्ते गुणान् षोडश षोडशात्मकं सोऽलं कृषीष्ट भगवान् भजांसि मे प्रह्लाद नारद पराशर पुण्डरीक व्यासं वरीष शुक शौनक भीष्मदाभ्यान् रुक्मांगदार्जुन वसिष्ठ विभीषणान्यन् पुण्यानि मान् परम भागवतान् स्मरामि We're talking yesterday about Yayati and Devayani. Devayani pleased Yayati in the best possible way, and in return Yayati also performed yagam, many yagam. That was the way of spiritual life in them days, yatnyam yagam. So they realized, Yayati realized that this propensity for sense enjoyment is never going to go away. The more you enjoy senses, the desire to enjoy will increase. And it will be very difficult to get out of it. And that is why Shastram says that the only way to get out of this cycle of sense gratification is to get some taste for Krishna consciousness. That's the only method by which you can become free from the sense gratification. So, in order to get that taste for Krishna consciousness, sadhana is required. So, in this way, with a firm determination, practicing Bhagavata Dharmam, chanting the holy name, offering obeisances to Krishna, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, and all other spiritual activities, when it is committed with firm determination, then gradually after some time, this upabhoga asakti or the propensity for sense gratification, that dirt which is inside us will leave us, because it's not possible to give up in one day everything, But what A.R. is saying there is that if you engage in sense gratification which is not forbidden by the Shastram, and that too in a very limited way, and that too with an understanding that it is going to destroy you eventually, sense gratification is bad. In this understanding, if you execute spiritual sadhana, then gradually you will find some taste for Krishna consciousness or Krishna. So, and our desire for enjoying senses will gradually leave us, right? So, when the Ubhabhoga Asakti, that is this attraction for sense enjoyment, that is not going to go away otherwise. So, but because there is desire for sense gratification in everyone, one should not keep quiet and stray away from spiritual life. So, Yayadi understood this principle. This principle Yayadi understood. So, and therefore, what he did, he told Devayani a story. It is his own story, but he used a female goat and a male goat, two goats. He said, how these two goats behaved. That's what he was saying to her. And he told her that these two goats, that's the 19th chapter, begins with that. Shri Shuka Uvacha, sa ittama janan kaman strainoba vannahum atmana buddhva priyayai nirvinno gadha medha magayada. Realizing his own conditions, he told Devayani this story. Shrino bhargavyamum yaghadham madhvida charidam bhuvi dhiraya syanisho jandi vane gramanivasina. O daughter of Shukracharya, hear from me a story which is spoken about a person who is spoken by the people who are in the forest, the rishis. They talk about this story. Basta ego vane kaschal vijinyan priyamalpana dadar shagube padidam sokarma vashagamajam. One male goat was wandering around in the forest. Unfortunately, due to some purva karma dosham, due to some karma, what has happened in the past, due to that, this male goat saw a female goat lying in a well, which was not used, but it was a deep pit, and therefore the male goat saw the female goat lying in the well. Tasya mudharano bhayam basagami vichindayan vedhatadurtamudrathya vishana grenarothasi. So the male goat thought how to bring the female goat from the well, and with its the male goat with its two horns started breaking the earth around the well, and helped the she goat to get out of the well, right? So you can see from the description straight away that it is referring to Yayadi and Devayani itself, the story, right? So, having realized, he says to Devayani that sense enjoyment is such a thing that even if you pour a drops of ghee into it, it will start burning further, bigger and bigger, right? So, any amount of ghee you pour into the fire will grow bigger, right? So, similarly, any amount of objects of sense gratification is present in front of a man, in front of a person, he will never say, I had enough, right? One sense may say, I had enough, but then the other senses will demand. And even if what one sense says, no, he had enough, the sense won't say that. Just like you can see that if you want to eat something which is full of taste. And if you continue eating that, after some time the stomach belly will get full. And temporarily, the desire to eat will go away. But other senses won't be satisfied with that. Only one sense, the tongue, is satisfied temporarily. So here, Yayadi performed all these yajnam yagam. And what he is saying here is, what kind of Krishna's, what aspect was Yayadi performing the yajnam? If you look at that verses again, carefully, in that 49th verse, he said that Yasmin nidam virajidam vyomniva jaladavali, that is in the 18th chapter. Naneva bhadi nabhadi sopnamaya manoratha tamev hridi vinyasya vasudevam guhashayam narayanamaniyamsam nirashire yajat prabhum. That verses are important in that chapter because in the empty space, clouds come in the sky, and space normally it's very pure and clean. But it is not, even though all the clouds come, it does not affect the purity of the space. And the sky remains as it is, whether even when the clouds are present in the sky still remains very pure. Similarly, Krishna is Sachidananda's ocean of Sachidanandam. Sachidanandam is Krishna. And even though this world comes out from Sachidanandam, and the world manifests and remains for some time and eventually disappears, Sachidanandam is not affected by that. Krishna is not affected by that. So, this appearance of this creation and its existence for some time and its disappearance is all, and all the namarupams that comes with the creation, is all the power of Maya. But Maya has come from Sachidanandam. So when Sachidanandam is present there, only at that time Maya can do all these things, all this magic called the creation, maintenance, dissolution, and all the namarupams in the creation. All these things are a part of Maya's activity while Sachidanandam is supporting it from behind. So, and that is how we experience this world. When do we experience this world? When only in two states, Jagrat and Swapnam, that's all. That is where senses are working. Only in those conditions, senses and the mind are in action. Only at that time we can experience this creation. So, particularly in vacant state, Jagrat, the senses are very much active. Senses are mainly controlling the vacant state, right? And accordingly the mind also. So, at that time, very clearly, we experience this creation. In the vacant state, particularly. The experience of this creation is only in the vacant state, direct experience, and in completely. It is a vacant state. Ramana Maharshi calls it as the scorpionic effect of the vacant state, he says. Scorpionic grip. When the scorpion bites us, its fangs go so deep inside, we will feel the pain so bad. He compares with that. He says the scorpionic grip of the vacant state. The vacant state is like a scorpion, he says. It bites inside and it affects us so strongly. So at that is why the existence of this vacant state in the existence of this creation world in the vacant state is very difficult to overcome for us, because it's so deep inside us, and any amount of effort is not easy to get out of that, right? Whereas when you go into the dream state, what happens? The senses are not acting straight away, but at the same time the mind is working in the dream state, right? So what happens? Whatever you have experienced in the vacant state, all the experience in the vacant state, that has created a samskaram inside us, a culture inside us, and that comes out in the dream state. And we experience that in the dream state, right? So in this way, vacant state and the dream state, both these two states, the senses and the mind, when they are present, that is when you experience this world. Isn't it? It's very clear. It's not difficult to understand. That both in the vacant state and the dream state, when our senses and the mind are active, that is when you experience this world, right? And in the sushupti, when you go to the deep sleep state, both our mind and the senses has completely gone. They have gone and dissolved in the Antaryami inside and Sachidanandam. So at that time, the world also disappears along with that. So senses and the mind are connected with the world outside. When the senses and the mind goes away, the world also goes away. That's the proof. Because when we go into deep sleep state, senses and the mind goes into the Antaryami, world also goes into Antaryami. It disappears from us, right? So in this way, what is clear for us is, when senses and the mind are acting, or are in mind and are functioning, or they are in action, at that time only the world can exist. And when they disappear, the world also disappears. That's the situation, right? And that is what he is referring to here with that word, Sopnamaya Manoratham. Yasmin nidam virajidam vyom niva jaladavali na neva bhadi na bhadi sopnamaya manoratha. You will see this word sopnamaya manoratham many places. Chitraketu also said sopnamaya manoratham about this world. Angiras Maharshi spoke about this to Chitraketu, sopnamaya manoratham. Other places also you will find in the Bhagavatam the same word, sopnamaya manoratham. Sopnam and maya. Sopnam and maya manoratham. Manoratham means mental chariot. So, when we see the sopnam, we think that it is real. While you are in the sopnam, in the dream, it is real, right? So, but when you wake up from the sopnam to the vacant state, that sopnam disappears. Sopnam disappears. Similarly, the magician, when he is showing the magic, it appears to us as though it is real at that time. We are surprised by the magic, what they do, isn't it? But when he stops the magic, at that time, whatever we saw in the magic all disappears. It is exactly like that. Similarly, when Manoratham or Manorajyam, when we see that, we go after that. Sometimes people sit alone and imagining something, and something goes through their mind. They are not in this world. They are in another world of their own, thinking about various things, and go. Their mind is taking them in that journey for a long period of time. Suddenly, till someone comes and wake them up from that. That's called Manoratham, Manorajyam. When we come out from the Manorajyam, that world disappears. Similarly, when senses are working, this world is all existing. And because Krishna is behind it, Krishna is present in the whole thing. Therefore, at that time, we feel these Namarupams are all very real. All the Namarupams are very real. And when the senses or the mind goes away, all these Namarupams also goes away. because again, you have to remember this, what Krishna is saying, that if something is real, it should be there all the time. It should not disappear. When we move away from Jagrat and Sopnam, everything disappears. That means it's not real. If it is there in all the three states, Jagrat, Sopnam and Sushupti, it is real. But it is not though. It's only real in the vacant state. In the dream state, we experience the samskaram created by the world. That's what we are experiencing. And the Sushupti, everything disappeared. So they are not real. This is the conclusion, right? So sometimes it appears in the vacant state, sometimes it disappears. You will see a verse in the Bhagavatam in several places repeated this, 4 or 5 times. And to get this point across, Arthesha vidyamanebi samsirdir na nivartade. ध्यायेदो विषयानस्य स्वप्ने अनर्थागमो यथा. एग्जैक्टली दिस मैसेज इज कन्वेड देयर. It's a famous verse. It is in the Paranjanobhakyanam, it is in the Ekadasha Skandam, it is in the sixth canto. In so many places, it appears repeatedly again and again. Why? Shukabrahmashi is saying, this is Vedantam. Artekha vidyamanevi samsidharna nivartade. Till the avidya leaves away, you will not get out of this ignorance in us. This is avidya that has been injected into us by the Maya. Artekha vidyamanevi samsidharna nivartade. There is no question of escaping from this avidya. Dhyayado vishayanasya svatne anarthagamo yatha. Just like one person who is absorbed in all the vishayam, sense objects. And svatnam, it is, he will experience things. But when you come out of svatnam, everything goes away. In the same way, the comparison is like this. Just like when you wake up from a dream, how when you come to the wakened state, how you leave everything what was in the dream state. You don't remember very much, but whatever memory you had in the svapnam, that stays for some time and then you completely ignore it and leave it behind because it is not real for you in the wakened state, what happened in the dream state. In the same way, Bhagavatam is saying, Artesh avidyamanevi samsridhanna nivartade. When you are in that avidya, what is inside us, this world will look like real. And till you come out of that avidya, and you will start seeing that the world is not real. Exactly like the way, when you were in the dream, everything was real, what was happening in the dream. But when you came out of the dream, into the vacant state, you realized that it was only a dream, in the same way. So that's why that verse is important. Shukabrahmashi repeats this 3-4 times in the Bhagavatam. Artesha vidyamanevi samsradir na nivartade, dhyayado vishayanasya svapne anarthagamo yatha. He says, exactly like that. That's what he is. Svapnamaya manoratham. Here he uses the word, right? So, so this is only a pratibhasam. This world's appearance and disappearance, that is why it is called a mithya. It is not real. It is only a temporary appearance and disappearance. Svapnam is also a pratibhasam like that. It's not real, right? So, in the same way, this world also is like svapnam, right? Only when you have senses and the mind, only at that time you are experiencing that. And all this is happening because behind all this thing is the presence of Paramatma Chaitanyam, due to the presence of Paramatma. And it is due to presence of Paramatma, this world is experienced by us, like the way it is, right? And Jagrat Svapnam, all experience is only due to the presence of Paramatma behind. So, as Krishna said in the Hamsa Gita also, the same thing, right? So, Sushupti, when it comes to Sushupti or Samadhi, after that Samadhi, world doesn't exist. Neither in the Sushupti nor in the Samadhi, the world doesn't exist. And so, due to the presence of Paramatma, Antaryami, inside, that is why when the world disappears from us, Antaryami doesn't go through any changes. Antaryami remains as he is, right? So, Antaryami's nature is pure. That is the Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam. That is the nature of Antaryami. It is eternal. It is pure. It's always liberated and Nitya Shuddha Buddha, and it's fully conscious. All these four things is nature of Antaryami. It's not going to go away. It's the very nature of consciousness. Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam. That's what it is. And that Antaryami is called as Paramatma, is called as Sachidanandam in the Upanishads, and is called Narayana, is called Vasudeva or Krishna in the Purana. That's all. It is. So, if you take shelter of that Antaryami, Krishna, Vasudeva, Narayana, whomever you want to address that, with intensely, with bhakti, if you approach, then this upabhoga asakti, the desire for sense enjoyment, will leave us. And otherwise it won't go. By advice, somebody hearing about this, it won't go. By simply hearing it, it won't go. We have to do the sadhana for that. And that is what all the other, the upasanas for that purpose. Everything. Holy name. Deity worship. Rathayatra. Harinam. Book distribution. Prasadam distribution. Initiation. Is everything only for this one purpose. To get out of this, upabhoga asakti goes away and chitta shuddhi comes back. That's the idea behind everything. Right? So, Yayadi realized that. Yayadi's process, Yayadi followed was yajnam. Yajnam and yagam. That's what Yayadi followed. Right? So, and after that, he wanted to tell the whole world what he had realized. Right? So, and he ultimately went back to the forest. And then he left this world, realized the truth and left this world. And it is after that, then Puru comes forward. So before real Ayadi left, he told that story to Devayani in the forest. So the male goat and the she goat, it was his own story with Devayani, what happened. In the form of an allegorical way, he said about the male goat and the she goat and put it to her. And she also understood very well. So together they decided to leave this world. They went to the forest. So such was the greatness of Yayadi. Yayadi was not an ordinary person. He learned the lesson in a hard way, but he did learn the lesson at the end. That's the beauty. That he learned it in a very hard way. He has to go through all that experience through Devayani and Sharmishtha and all that and Shukracharya. But ultimately he understood that this is the truth. And so he walked away. So if you look at that 19th chapter, you will see there at the end, Namastubhyam Bhagavate Vasudevaya Vedase Sarvabhudadivasaya Shandaya Brahade Namam. So that is how Yayadi left his body. Namastubhyam Bhagavate Vasudevaya Vedase Sarvabhudadivasaya Shandaya Brahade Namam. With that, referring to offering obeisances to Krishna. Sarvabhudadi Vasaya, one who is present in everyone. Sarvabhudadi Vasaya, Andaryami, present in everyone. Shandaya Brahade Nama. And he focused his mind on him and he left his gross and subtle body altogether, gone away. Some people say that verse was spoken by Shukha Brahmarshi. But about Ayadi. It is not specifically mentioned like that. So, prior to that he said, Shrutva gatham devayani mene prastobhama alpana stri pumso sneha vaiklavyad parihasam ivedidam. On the 26th verse, he says, Devayani heard the story of this male and female goat. And he says here, that when man and woman get closer, what can happen? So, this asakti, sakti, sakti means attachment to man and woman. Devayani heard that and thinking about that, it's like a joke he has spoken as a goat, male and female goat. But Devayani was laughing herself that she had gone through that stage with Yayadi. Yayadi spoke, didn't want to offend her, so he spoke in the form of a male and female goat. But from this story, the way Yayadi said that, even Devayani felt it very much. That she was a female goat and Yayadi is a male goat. And thinking about it, Devayani realized it, how stupid it was of her and Yayadi to live like that. After all, Devayani is Shukracharya's daughter. So we can expect good realization from her. She's not an ordinary woman, isn't it? So you can see that quality in her. She appreciated that and she understood that this message is for her to go into the process of Nivrti Margam rather than in the Pravrti Margam. So she actually gave all the support to Yayadi and together they went to the forest. Sa sannivasam sukhrudam prabhayam iva gacchadam vijnya yeshwara dandranam maya virajidam prabho. So Devayani realized that this staying among friends and families and all that is like living in a in a in a wayside hotel or wayside inn temporarily. That's all this relationship with this world is. She realized that, and she also realized that Maya Virajitam Prabhu, Maya has created this situation for everybody. And knowing that, she realized that Sarvatra Sangam Ulsrajya, she gave up all connection with the world. How? Swapnavamyena Bhargavi. Just like when we come out of Swapnam, we give up everything what was in the Swapnam. And she also gave up all connection with the world as though it is like a Swapnam. Like a Swapnam, like a dream, she gave up all the connection with this world. Bhargavi, Bhrigu Maharshi's tradition she has got. So naturally you can expect from her that level of understanding, right? And then complete Krishne Manasamaveshya, completely focused on Krishna, Vidhinor Lingamalpana, and she also gave up her subtle body. They don't mention gross body here. They always talk about subtle. Gross body is not given any importance because gross body is only to do with prarabdham. Prarabdham keeps the gross body. It is a subtle body that goes with us. And leaving the subtle body is the most difficult thing, not the gross body. Gross body, at least we know it will go one day. But subtle body she left. And in the next verse you can see that Yayadi also left the subtle body, it says. Namastubhyam Bhagavate Vasudevaya Vedase Sarvabhudadivasaya Shandaya Brihade Nama. Focus the mind on Krishna. Yayadi as well as Devayani, both of them focused on mind on Krishna, and eventually they both left the subtle bodies and they gone away. So with that finishes, right? Then Puru took over. Puru is only one who accepted to exchange with Yayadi, remember, the youth. Puru exchanged the youth with Yayadi. Yayadi exchanged the youth from Puru. Puru became old, but Puru was given the emperorship because of this, as a recognition for the service he has done to Yayadi. All the other, Yadu, Turvasu, Druhyu, Anudruhyu, all of them said no. They walked away. But Puru agreed. Puru exchanged his youth for Yayadi to enjoy further. And then Puru was given in return, the emperorship of the big kingdom of Yayadi was given to Puru, right? So, and he also told Yadu, Turvasu, Druhyu and Anudruhyu, all of them should be under Puru. Even though Puru was the youngest, Puru was given the emperorship, but other four were told that they will rule, they can rule under Puru. That means they will have their own kingdoms, but that will be under Puru. So, in this way, these four people and their... Yadu, of course, was not interested. And it is this Puru's parambara is what is spoken from now on. And in the middle, you will see that Dushyanta story comes. And Dushyanta's son, Bharata. Dushyanta and Shakuntala and Bharata. That story is also spoken there. Then Samkriti's putra is Rendideva. Out of that, you will see that comes later. So, 20th chapter is all about, you can read that, it is not difficult. Dushyanta's son, Bharata, and how Bharata became famous. There's a lot of interesting things there also in that. Dushyanta married Shakuntala and Bharata was born. Bharata is his son. And one day, jokingly, he said to her, Dushyanta said to Shakuntala that, Bharata said to that, how Bharata became detached to this world, right? Bharata had three wives who were the daughters of king of Vidarbha. There were three wives for Bharata. Bharata was a very powerful person, very powerful. From an early age itself, he will go to the forest and catch hold of lion cubs and play with them. That is the type of person he was. Real Kshatriya nature. Goes to the forest and get hold of lion cubs and play with them. That's how he was, right? So one day he called these three wives and told them, and he is a very serious person, O Bharata. No joking with him. Never smiles. Very, very serious. Everyone was very scared of him because of his, the way he was, right? So even his wives were scared of him. So one day he called his wives and told them, how come these children don't look like me, he said. That was enough. The wives understood that husband is suspecting their chastity. They got this fear inside. Will he going to punish us now? Things, some fear came up to their mind, right? So what they did was they killed the children. And that's what happened. And then so because of that, Bharata didn't have descendants. And that time the rishis have come to see him, and they perform a yajnam. And Maridevas came there and gave him a son called Bharadvaja. So then Maridevas, they got the Bharadvaj, that is what is spoken there. Anyway, Bharata's dynasty came to an end there. It didn't grow further, right? So Bharadvaj was given as a son to them. So all that story is in the 20th chapter. It is not so important like the next chapter. 21st is important because it is in the chapter is spoken, Dushyanta's son Bharata, and his lineage is spoken in that. And finally, you will continue with that. Then comes Randideva's story. Randideva's story. So, Randideva's case is like this, that we saw in the Solar Dynasty the story of Ambarish. Similarly, a great personality in the Lunar Dynasty is this Randideva. Why is Randideva so important? Randideva's activities is not possible for ordinary people to perform. Like the way Ambarish was a devotee, Randideva was a devotee. And his devotion, you can understand from his activities more than anything else. Ambarish was more involved, Savaimana Krishna Padaravindayor Vachamsi Vaigunda Gunani Varnani. All those verses are a reflection of Ambarish's bhakti. Randideva's bhakti was a little different than that. What was Randideva's bhakti? He saw in everyone Krishna's presence, and he accepted everyone as Krishna's. Krishna's presence he recognized in everybody, and served everyone in this world without any. To such an extent, he was elevated spiritually that he could not see anything else in this world except Krishna. Krishna is present in everyone, and that he fully recognized, and he served everyone with that realization all the time. So what happened? He understood that one who is present within him as Antaryami, Pratyakalpa Chaitanyam, is the same one who is present in the whole creation in everyone, as their Antaryami as well as the Paramatma Chaitanyam, right? So, and he was able to clearly experience this within himself, and he became perfect in that. In that way. So you can see there is a difference in the style of bhakti of Ambarish Maharaj. Ambarish was the greatest devotee in that Solar Dynasty, and Randideva was another, he is a devotee but in a different way with realizations like this. And whoever asked anything, he will give anything what they want. He was a king and he will give everything to them, whatever they ask for. So, because of this, he kept on giving everything to others, he became penniless. He had no food to eat. To that stage it had come, right? So, 48 days he starved without eating anything. So, At this time also, he sustained his life by drinking water. That is how he sustained. And when he was starving like that, drinking water and surviving, someone came and gave him some food. You will see, if you look at the 21st chapter, you will see there, this mentioned, fourth verse. This nature of Randideva was like this. Viyad vittasya dadado labdham labdham babukshada nishkinjanasya dhirasya sa kudumbasya si dada. Always happy with whatever comes to him. If anybody gives anything, he will accept it. Otherwise, he was not bothered. Satisfied with what comes in life. That nature. Yadurcha labha sandoshta. Yeah? Yadurcha labham. He was happy with that. And even when he was starving, and while he was giving charity to others, what he had, still no attachment anywhere. He had no attachment to this world. No mamada anywhere. And very courageous and bold. At the same time, he has a family as well. And even they had to starve with him. And he was starving. And 48 days, he says there, Vediyu ashtachatvari amshadavhanya pibada kila. 48 days, ekada gridapayasa samyavam toyamja pradirupasthitam. One day, somebody gave him some payasam. With the ghee in that. When somebody is starving, and he was given payasam with the ghee in that. Yeah. And some, he also got some wheat cooked and some water. That was what was offered to him. Payasam with ghee and then a cereal for wheat with as a meal. And some water was given to him, right? So that is what he is saying here. In that time this happened. And then in that situation, it means that wheat cooked in milk, right? And he wanted to eat that. Somebody gave it to him. He wanted to eat that with the family together. At that moment, a Brahmana came there. And Brahmana said, I'm very hungry. I'm starving. You have to give me some food, he said. So he gave half of that food to the Brahmana. And then he wanted to have the rest for himself. At that time, a Shudra comes there and says to him, I am also starving. I need some food. So what was left for himself, he gave that to this Shudra also. So, after this has happened, there was some food still left. So, at that time, a Chandala comes and with four dogs and asks for some food from him. First, the Brahmana came, gave some food. Then, the Shudra came, gave him some food. Now, a Chandala comes with dogs and asks for some food. So, he, whatever little that was left behind, he gave that to Chandala also. Then there was some water left behind. When he was going to drink that water and quench his thirst at that moment, another person from a lower birth came there and asked for some water. So he gave the water also to that person who came at the end. Right? So you will see that in the 11th verse. Tasyadam karunam vajam nishamya vibulashramam krupaya brishasandapta idamahavadam vajam. After giving all these things, Randideva is feeling very sad within himself, seeing the condition of the world. He says, I cannot see this other people suffering in this world. I am willing to accept the suffering of everybody in this world, he says there. So, that is what he has spoken there. If you look at the 12th verse, what he said was that
Na kama yeham gadim ishwaral para ashtardi yuktam apunarbhavam va artim prabadye akhila deha bhajan andastido yena bhavandya dukkaha.
I don't want anything from Krishna, he said. Only Aishwarya Siddhis. Nothing. Abhunarbhavam va. Even liberation I am not looking for, he said. More than all that, I want to be present, feel, or exist in everyone's heart and experience the suffering they are going through and take it away from them, allowing the jiva to suffer. I am willing to accept all those for myself, he says. Just to see, show us to the compassion what he had for other living entities, right? So, when I am willing to accept all their sufferings by being present in everyone and accepting the suffering, in that way they will become free from their distress. And then he explains there why he wants to do that. Asking for the suffering of others, right? Because he says, only if you remove the distress of others, and actually you can become free from your own distress. That he is explaining there. So, after said that, he is mentioned that he is willing to accept the suffering of everybody. And let the whole world become free from suffering. So, he was asking Krishna to allow him to enter into everyone, to every jiva's body, and experience the give the opportunity to present in everyone's body and enjoy and experience their sufferings. This is what he was asking, right? So he says that one who wants to live in this world, I have given them what I have got, the food, the water, everything what I had I have given to them because they wanted it. And I saw that Krishna is present in them, in that jiva, and I have given everything as an opportunity for me to please that jiva, please Krishna by pleasing that jiva in that way. And because of that, shoga moham, vishadam moham, all those things have left me now because I have given everything for them. So hunger and thirst and the problems with this body or the pain and pleasures of this body and the pains what we feel in our mind, all these things, misunderstanding in life. Due to that we suffer sometime. Misunderstanding. And due to ajnanam we suffer. Avidya. Due to that we suffer. All these things are sufferings of human body, human nature. Is it not? So he is saying there, when he handed over the water to the last person who came and asked for the water, when he gave it to him, he gave the water and he said this, right? I have become free from my suffering by giving this water to that person. I was going through all these sufferings, but all the problems associated with this body, I have managed to become free by giving everything. This giving and becoming free from the suffering is only in the Vedic culture. Giving things away and becoming free from suffering. This principle is very high because you can see in the Bhagavad, in the Isha Upanishad also. Isha Vasyam Idam Sarvam Tena Tektuena Bunjida. Give up, he keeps saying, isn't it? Magrida Kasya Siddhanam, knowing well to whom it all belongs to. Ishavasam idam sarvam yat kinja jagatyam jagat tena tyaktvena bhunjida magrida kasya siddhanam. What is that verse means? It means this,
They give up everything, and by giving up, knowing well to whom it all belongs to, you become free from suffering. That's what that verse is saying. Ishavasam idam sarvam. Everything is Krishna's. Yet kincha jagatyam jagat. This whole creation is coming from him. Of course, this is a very high realization. Tena tektuena bunjida. Tena tektuena bunjida. Magrida kasya siddhanam. To whom it belongs to. You will see, amrde tyageneiva amrdatva manashu. In the Upanishad says, it's quoted in the Bhagavadam. Tyageneiva amrdatva manashu. Tyagam, giving up everything. Right? So, so this is what he wanted. He wanted that realization in that way. So at that time, Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva appeared in front of Randideva and offered obeisance, and he offered obeisance, obeisances to him, right? And he also offered obeisances, but he didn't ask for anything from them, right? So he lived all his life seeing this one truth present in everyone. That was his state of consciousness all the time. There is only one truth here, Krishna. And Krishna is the only reality. Everything else is the suffering, enjoyment and all that is in relationship with the body, like the hunger, thirst and everything. He has gone beyond all that. So he lived his whole life in that way. At the same time, all his subjects also, because he was a king, also were great devotees like him. So it is that Randideva story, that's what you find in this 21st chapter. You can see here that Savaidebhyo namaskritya nissango vigada spriha vasudeve bhagavadi bhaktya chakre namaparam. When Lord Vishnu, Brahma and Shiva came there, and they appeared in front of him, seeing his realizations, right? And he offered obeisances, but never asked anything from them. Ishwar alambanam chittam kurvado ananyarathasa maya gunamairajan sopnavat pratyaliyada. In him, because he was so elevated in his consciousness, right? And therefore there was no desires in him. No desires, he didn't want anything, right? And he was in that state of higher state of consciousness, of realizing Krishna's presence in everything. What Shukha Brahmashri is saying there is, because of that, Maya, which has got this Satugunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam, Trigunam, Trigunam Maya, that has also disappeared from him. Just like a dream comes and goes away, Maya has came out of him. Like a dream leaves us, in the same way Maya left him. He became free from Maya, in other words. That means he is liberated, in other words. Ishwaralambanam chittam kurvado ananyarathasa maya gunamai rajan sopnavat prateliyada. Just like sopnam goes away, sopnam gets dissolved when we wake up, is it not? Where did the sopnam go? We don't know. It has gone. It got dissolved somewhere. In the same way, Maya became dissolved from him. Means Maya left him completely. Right? Tal prasanganubhavena randidevanu parvatvartina abhavan yogina sarve narayana varayana. That Randideva's followers also, due to association with Randideva, they also became very advanced and great yogis because of his association. They became very advanced. Then after that, the Garga's thing is spoken there. Then when you go that story further, what you find there is the story of Hastinapuram was built by Hasti. Hasti's story is there. Then Pradipa Putra is Shantanu. Shantanu's story, Shantanu's son is Bhishma. And Shantanu married Satyavati. Shantanu had two sons, Vichitravirya and Chitrangada. Two sons were born. Chitrangada got killed in a battle, in a war. And Vichitravirya got involved in sense enjoyment. Repeatedly, Bhagavatam will bring all these personalities to remind us about the danger of sense enjoyment. So, Vichitra Virya, Chitrangada got killed in the battle, and Vichitra Virya, due to sense gratification, got TB, tuberculosis, and he dies. And then what happened? He had wives, Ambiga and Ambalika. And Vedavyasa Maharshi had made them pregnant and had that was the practice then, that Kshatriya women, when they were had no children, they will ask some rishis or great brahmanas to have children from them. And in that way, so they begged Vedavyas to have children. Vedavyas is a rishi. So Vedavyas had a son called Dhritarashtra, and ultimately they had a dasi, also servant maid, and in that the Vidura was born. So Dhritarashtra and Pandu were born from Ambiga and Ambalika. Amba goes away for another reason, that another story that's also there. But Ambiga and Ambalika, Vedavyasa Maharshi had a relationship, and from that were born the Dhritarashtra and Pandu. And from the servant maid, also had a son from Vedavyasa, and he is Vidura. Is Vidura, right? Dhritarashtra married Gandhari, and Pandu married Kundi Devi. Gandhari had Kauravas, and Kundi had the Pandavas. And Madri, Kundi and Madri, there are two wives Pandu had. And Madri had Nagula and Sahadeva. So, and Kundi Devi had the five children. Yudhishthira, you know the story. Arjuna, Bhima, Arjuna, Nagula, Sahadeva, the five Pandavas. So these five Panja Pandavas, they are called five Pandavas. They married one girl, Panjali, who is Draupadi, right? In that way, that dynasty continued, right? Now, that is up to that story spoken. Then we talk about, you remember Yayadi's other children. This is all from the Puru's family, Puru's descendants, right? Puru's lineage. Then we have Turvasu and Druhyu. Druhyu and Anidruhyu. Yadu left for self-realization. He didn't want anything to do with this world. Yadu, we meet later. Where do we see him? In Ekadasha Skandam, when he has a meeting with the Dattatreya Maharshi. That is where we meet Yadu much later in the Ekadasha. So in Ekadasha Skandam, there is a discussion between Yadu. Yadu was a person who was all interested in self-realization, nothing else. Nothing else in life matters to him. So he, the Dattatreya Maharshi met him, and you can see that 24 spiritual masters, that story. That is between Yadu and the Dattatreya Maharshi. That comes in Ekadasham. Then who is Turvasu, Druhyu, Anudruhyu? Their lineage is spoken. And then we come to Yadu's descendants. Yadu went away, but that Vamsham is known as Yadu Vamsham. And that Yadu Vamsham is spoken, and it is that Yadu Vamsham we get to know about Krishna. Krishna's appearance, Sachidananda Brahmam. How he came to this, how that form came, Krishna came to this world as the son of Devaki and Vasudev. And after that, in three verses, Shuka Brahmarshi speaks about Krishna's appearance and finishes Bhagavatam there, ninth canto. Bhagavatam finishes there, actually. In the end of ninth canto, if you look, last three verses in the ninth canto. യസ്യാനനം മകരകുണ്ടല ചാരുകർണം ബ്രാജൽകപോല സുഭഗം സുവിലാസഹാസം നിത്യോത്സവം നന്ദ്രുമർദൃശുപിപിബന്ധ്യോ ആര്യോ നരാശ്ച മുദിത കുബിത നിമേശ്ച ജാതോഗത പിതൃഗൃഹാത് വ്രജമേദിദാർത്ഥോ ഹത്വാരിപം സുതശതാനി കൃതോരുദാര ഉൽപാദ്യദേഷു പുരുഷകൃതുഭി സമീജേ ആത്മാനമാത്മനിഗമം പ്രഥയൻ ജനേഷു പൃഥ്വാസ വൈ ഗുരുഭരം ക്ഷപയൻ ഗുരുണാം അന്തസ്സമുത്ഥകലിനാം വിധിഭൂപചമ്മ ദൃഷ്ട്വാ വിധൂയ വിജയേ ജയ മുദ്ധിഘോഷ പ്രോച്യോദ്ധവായ ജപരം സമകാൽ സ്വധാമാം.
If you read those verses, you can see the translation also. The first verse talks about the Krishna's beauty. That how he was so beautiful that the population always relished looking at him, seeing that beauty, right? And when he closed his eyes, people were unhappy because that the happiness what they got by seeing those eyes, it was such that the eyes were so beautiful that they were attracted by that. And even what that means is, when Krishna closed his eyes, means that they felt separation from him for a moment. Even that was unbearable for them. That's what that verse is saying.
Nityolsavam na tadurpravadrishubi prabhandyo aryo narasya mudida kubida nimescha.
Krishna's eyes getting closed, they didn't like it because the beauty of the eyes and Krishna's beauty. And then the whole purpose of the appearance of Krishna in one verse. So if you look at those three verses, it will give the impression that Shuka Brahmarshi wanted to finish Bhagavadam there.
Jato gada pitar grihad vrajame dhidartho hatvari pun siddhashatani krato orudhara ഉൽപാദ്യ ദേശു പുരുഷ ക്രതുഭി സമീജേ ആത്മാനമാത്മ നിഗമം പ്രഥയൻ ജനേഷോ.
അപ്പിയേർഡ് ഇൻ എ വെരി അൺയൂഷ്വൽ വേ ഇൻ ടു കം ടു ദിസ് വേൾഡ് റൈറ്റ് ദെൻ ആക്ട് പെർഫോംഡ് സോ മെനി പാസ്റ്റ് ടൈംസ് ഇൻ എ ഹ്യൂമൻ ഫോം ആൻഡ് ഫസ്റ്റ് ഫ്രം ഫാദേഴ്സ് റെസിഡൻസ് വെൻ ടു ഗോകുലം ആൻഡ് ഫ്രം ദർ ടു വൃന്ദാവനം ആൻഡ് ദെൻ fulfilled their desires, married many times, 16,108 wives, and in all of them he had so many children, many children were born from that, and given the whole world the instructions to follow the path of spiritual life spoken in the Vedam, and that Vedic process he followed very rigidly. And keeping the soul, everything centered around the soul. He says, Atmanam Atma Nigamam Prathayan Janeshu. He taught the people how to realize the self holding on to the Andaryami inside. Atmanam Atma Nigamam Prathayan Janeshu. That Yajnam he performed. Then after that, he says, because of the burden created by the Kauravas, due to that, they were become a burden on the earth, created fight among them, among that family itself, because both are Puru's descendants, who? Pandavas and the Kauravas, both are Puru's descendants. So deliberately, Krishna created a problem within them, made them to fight each other, in order to reduce the burden on the earth. Remember, Janam Janedi Janayan, Marayan Murtigandagam. When he wants to solve the problem, that is his method. He will create fight among people and he can bring the temperature down. That's his method. Krishna's twice in the Bhagavatam said that, isn't it? Janam Janedi Janayan Marayan Murtigandagam. That will come in the form of one world war after another world war and keep reducing the weight. When the weight increases, what else can you do? So that's what he does, right? So created the war, Mahabharata war, God destroyed loads of people in that and gave the Arjuna was declared the winner of the war. Drishtya vidhuya vijaye jaya muddhi goshya. Vijaya was given all the credit for winning the war, and then prochyuddhavaya jabharam samagal swathama, finally gave the knowledge about the self to Uddhava and left this world.
So these three verses, the last three verses of the ninth canto, is a summary of Krishna avataram, Krishna's appearance, and Shiva Brahmarshi wanted to see how Parikshit will react to that after saying this. And that is how the tenth canto begins. So you can see that the in the 24th chapter also, you will see before few things have spoken. Before Krishna avataram, Balaram's appearance was spoken. And also Balaram's marriage is also spoken. Even before he was born, his marriage was spoken. And it is after that the appearance comes. Appearance comes later, right? So, in the 24th chapter, you will see there, in the 55th verse, Ashtamastatayo rasil soyameva hari kila subhadraja mahabhaga tavarajan pidamahi. Shuka Brahmarshi is saying to Parikshit that from Devaki and Vasudeva, as their eighth child, Satchidananda Brahmam, Purna Brahmam, came to this world. Brahmam, total Brahmam came to this world. Purna Avatar, he came up. And among them also, the most fortunate personality, and your grandmother Subhadra Devi also came. Swayameva Vasid, you see there mentioned, Ashtamastu tayorasid swayameva harikila. Swayameva asid means that these appearances are not under the control of karma, unlike our birth. Not subjected to karma. It was divine appearance, decided by them to come. Subhadra Devi as well as Krishna. They have come in that way. Yadaya deha dharmasya Chayo Vrdhishya Vapmana Tadadu Bhagavanisha Altmanam Srajade Hari. So, and he says, eighth one was Hari, and Hari Tadadu Bhagavanisha Altmanam Srajade Hari. Yadaya Deha Dharmasya Chayo Vrdhishya Vapmana Tadadu Bhagavanisha Altmanam Srajade Hari. Altmanam Srajade Hari. So, prior to that, he said that Ashtamastu tayorasid swayameva hari kila subhadraja mahabhaga tavarajan pidamahi. So, eighth one is swayam hari swayameva masid. Hari swayameva. Sachidananda Brahmam, Narayana. He, one who is able to relieve everyone from all sufferings, that Sachidananda Brahmam in the human form appeared from Devaki and Vasudev. Krishnastu, remember this, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Yeah? So, that Sachidananda Brahmam has come in Krishna's form. So, here, when this verse comes, Sri Rajari Swamiji says there that here it says that the Ashtamastu Tayorasit Soyameva Harikila. There he is saying there Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. That Hari is Krishna, right? So who is Narayana? Narayana what all he intended. When we give these different names, people always get thinking about it, isn't it? They think who is higher, who is lower. Is Krishna higher, Narayana lower, or Narayana higher, Krishna lower? People argue about all these things. That's because they don't understand the Rishi's mind. Rishis are talking. They talk, don't talk like us, the way we talk about it, right? So, in this Bhagavad Shabdam, Bhagavan is normally referred to as, you remember, is also referring to in the Garga Bhagavadam. In Srimad Bhagavadam also there is these definitions, right? For example, in the beginning of Bhagavadam, in order to avoid any misunderstanding, Suda Goswami said that Vadandida Tattvavidam, that verse, is it not? Truth is one. Vadandita Tattvavidam Tattvam Yajnanam Advayam. And that one truth we are addressing as Brahmedi, Paramatmedi, Bhagavanedi, Shabdyade. Right? So, Tattvavidam means one who knows the Tattvam, one who knows the truth, right? Tattvajnanis, they are called. Or one who has realized the Tattvadarshi. These are all the words in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam. Jnanina Tattvadarshina, it says there. Isn't it? In the Bhagavad Gita. Jnanina Tattvadarshina. Yeah. So Tattvadarshi, Tattvajnani, Tattvavid all means the same thing. Or you can say Satyadrashtava, one who has seen the truth. And what that means is, who have experienced the Satyam in Abaroksha level. Abaroksha means not intellectually, in realization. This intelligence is the biggest problem. Everything we are used to connecting to intelligence. People think you are intelligent and the rishis have no value for it. Rishis are saying, till you experience something, it's not real. That is aparoksham. What you experience is aparoksham. What you experience through intelligence is only paroksham. Paroksham level. There is one video clip 2 days ago. It came. I don't know who she is. She is from Uttar Pradesh. She is a guru or something like that. She says she was talking about bhakti to some people. And she says she was referring to America somewhere, she was talking to them. And she says they were trying to understand bhakti also with this, she said. Bhakti you can't understand with intelligence. Bhakti is to be experienced inside. Bhakti is not something you understand with intelligence, isn't it? Anybody with understanding of bhakti will know that. Bhakti cannot be understood with intelligence. He says the problem was that, she says, I was talking about bhakti and they were using their intelligence to understand it, understand the bhakti. That will not work. So that's the point she was making there. So, so vadan tattvam, tattvam is only one. And what is that? That verse is saying advaya jnanam, isn't it? Vadandi tattvavidam tattvam yat jnanam advayam. Akhanda bodham, pure consciousness, awareness inside, which is present in existence, we exist, that feeling, what we all have, right? Which is present in the whole creation. And that awareness, bodham, is not touched by, it was not created or it will never get destroyed. It remains like that. It doesn't have a beginning or an end. Pure consciousness and akhanda bodham, awareness inside. And it is that bodham that is spoken in the Purusha Suktam prayers also. Atyadishta Dashangulam. In other words, it is present everywhere, even beyond this creation, it exists. Because that's the only reality, that bodham, awareness inside us, right? Which doesn't have a beginning or an end, pure bodham. So, the only one thing in this whole creation, all the time, which doesn't have an origin, which was not created, which doesn't get destroyed, and exists like that, is this Chaitanyam, or Bodham, awareness, or consciousness. Whichever way you call, these are all different names, or the same thing is addressed to Chaitanyam, right? Which is present everywhere. And that is what Bhagavadam is saying, Advaya Jnanam. That Bodham is the Advaya Jnanam. That Bodham, existence, Satya, Chitta, Anandam, everything is present in that bodham. That alone is the truth, nothing else. That's the way. And this has been confirmed by Satya Drashtava, one who have realized the self, right? And they say this. And that is what then he said in the next line, Brahmedi, Paramatmedi, Bhagavanedi, Shabdyade, right? Jnanis calls it as Brahmam. Yogis calls it as Paramatma. And devotees call it as Bhagavan. So, Jnani is Brahmam, and Yogi is Paramatma, and devotee is Bhagavan, is one. Is one and the same thing. Nothing but this Bodham inside, awareness inside. Right? That's Brahmam, that Bodham, Sachidananda Brahmam, or Sachidananda Paramatma, Bhagavan, has come. that Sachidananda Brahmam, Sachidananda Paramatma or Bhagavan has came in a form, and that is Krishna. And in the human form it came. It came in a human form, that's Krishna. So that's what he is saying here. Swayameva Hari Kila. Swayameva Hari Kila. And as his sister, Subhadra also appeared. Subhadra Devi also appeared. If you look at the 56th verse, then Yadaya Deha Dharmasya Chayo Vridishavatmana Tadadu Bhagavanisha Alpanam Srajade Hari. Same thing what is in the Bhagavad Gita. Yadaya Dahi Dharmasya Glanir Bhavadi Bharata. Any time when dharma gets destroyed in this world, adharma becomes stronger. At that time, adharma has to be destroyed and dharma has to be established. And for that purpose, a form is taken by the Akhanda Sachidananda Brahmam. Right? So the purpose is to establish the dharma samsthapanarthaya, what is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. So through that dharma samsthapanam process, he will destroy all those who are creating the trouble and protect this world. So from that you can understand what sustains this world is dharma. That's the reason why Krishna maintains dharma at any cost, right? So through protection of the dharma, Krishna protects the world, what has come from Maya. What Maya has created this world, and Krishna wants the world to stay, and in that case, Krishna has to maintain dharma also here. Otherwise, the world won't stay. It is only through dharma it will stay, and therefore he protects. It is for that purpose he accepts the form. Next words. Nahyasya janmano hetu karmano vamahi pade alpa mayam vineshasya parasya drashtura alpmanam. Then, one who is controlling this Maya, after all, the whole thing is Maya's domain, isn't it? But this Maya is under his control. And because Maya is under his control, he is asangam. He has no connection with it. Maya has come from him, so he has no attachment to Maya, unlike we who are inside Maya. Maya controls us very well, and we become victimized by Maya. Krishna's case is different, he says. That nahyasya janmano hetu, he is not born like the way we are born through Maya. Karmano va mahi pade alpa mayam vinashasya. But whenever avataram is taken, yoga maya comes in. It is through yoga maya every avataram comes. All incarnations of Sachidananda Brahmam is with the help of yoga maya. It is through yoga maya, because without the help of yoga maya, a form cannot come. A name and a form. So that appears, happens for Krishna's also, case also. That's what he's saying. Alpa mayam vineshasya parasya drashtur alpmani. Even for his appearance and for all his activities, yoga maya is responsible. Krishna's appearance and Krishna's activities, yoga maya has to arrange everything. Krishna doesn't do anything because he is always aloof from everything. It is through yoga maya what we see in Krishna now, everything. What yoga maya has done, right? So, that is what he says. Nahyasya janmana hetu karmano va mahipade alpa maya vine shasya parasya drashtura alpmanam. We have to understand that verse properly because Krishna does not stick to anything. We get attached to things and our mind, and we get stuck with things in this world due to our attachment and aversion. Ragam, dvesham. These things are in us, right? But Krishna is a controller of Maya. Therefore, ragadvesham doesn't affect him. Because we are in the Maya, ragadvesham does affect us. No doubt about that, right? Drashtu, at the same time, he says here, drashtu. Drashtu means he is always a witness. He doesn't get involved in anything, but he's actually a witness. And in the same way, Alpmana. Alpmana means He is present everywhere in everything. So in this situation, in this background, that Sachidananda Brahman is taking a form and coming here. And his activities. So his Sachidananda Brahman by nature is not affected by anything. He doesn't stick to anything. That's what it's mentioned there. Nahyase janmana hedu karmanova mahipade atmaya vinashasya vineshasya. Because he is not sticking to anything, and because he is only drashto, which means he is a witness of everything, in order that atmana, that, and he is present in everything, but then he has to take a form and come here. He is not like us. He is present in everything, he is not sticking to anything, and he is a witness to everything. This is how far he is present in this world, to that extent. He is witness to everything what is going on in this creation. Sarvasakshi he is, drashtu, right? And Atmana, he is present in everywhere in everything, and at the same time, he is not sticking to anything. He doesn't have that Sangam with anything. And that vastu has to take a form and come. So when that vastu takes a form and come, Yogamaya arranges that form and he is playing with Yogamaya. That vastu is playing with Yogamaya, and that means he controls Yogamaya as well. He is also under his control. And Maya is always under Krishna's control. And not, he is under control of Maya. That therefore, paradhinata. Paradhinata means he is not under control of anybody. Totally independent. Swarad says in the Bhagavatam. Fully independent. We are not independent, are we? What independence have we got? We came to this world through karma. We got a body like that, and then we are here. And whatever happiness and distress comes, we have no control over that. We get into trouble here all the time. And one day, even without any further questions, we are told to leave this place. We have to go. This is our so-called independence. Forced to come here, forced to accept a body, which we, whether we like it or not, and with that body you have to live here in this world, and whatever happiness and distress is thrown at us, you have to accept it. And one day, without any question, we are asked to leave and we go. So you can see the difference, Krishna's appearance and our appearance. Our appearance is with all these strings attached to it. So, Krishna is always aloof from everything, not controlled by anything, by Maya, always a witness to everything what is going on, and at the same time, present in everywhere in everything, and apart from that, not sticking to anything. This is Krishna's situation, right? So, and at the same time, he is pure Sachidanandam, right? And everything is present in him. And therefore, well, why we say like that? Because everything, if Krishna is not present, that particular vastu has no reality. Because when you look at something and we say that, oh, it exists, it's only because Krishna is present in that object. That is why we are able to say that. Its existence is due to Krishna's presence, which we have spoken before, right? So, even though due to Krishna's presence, we feel the reality of existence of any object, Krishna has not sticking to that object at the same time. No sticking to that. But his presence is there because only by his presence we feel the existence of that object, right? Just like they gave the example of the pot and the space inside. Space inside, right? When the pot is broken, the space inside the pot is gone. It has become one with the space outside. Similarly, in every one of us, if Krishna leaves this body, then we don't see Krishna in us. But we know one thing, when Krishna leaves the body, we are finished. This body has no meaning anymore after that, right? So, that's the same way, like the pot and the space inside, right? So, just like the pot's presence in the space, in the similar way, we are also the pots present in Krishna. Krishna is present inside, so it gives a feeling to the world that we all exist, a feeling of existence for all of us. Once Krishna leaves this pot, then this pot has no meaning. It has no existence, right? So, even when you look at the pot, it gives you a feeling that pot is separate from the world, from the space, is it not? But actually when the pot breaks down, the space inside the pot becomes one with the space outside. There was no pot there really. Pot was only temporarily there. With your senses you are perceiving the pot. And you are thinking that it is real, it's real. But it's not real. That's the point. Ghatagasham, Mahagasham. Right? So, and that space is the most subtle of all. And more subtle than that is Brahman. Krishna is more subtle than that, right? Because space is also coming from him. He is the cause of the space as well. Agasham also. So, and then all that, what he is saying here, that nahyasya janmana hetu karmano vamahipate alpamayam vineshasya parasya drashtura alpana. All those verses are very important to make us understand that how Krishna appears, right? So, therefore, for his appearance, the cause behind that appearance is, it's a maya vilasam it is. Alpamayam vineshasya parasya drashtu alpana. There is no other thing here. So, when dharmam gets destroyed, at that time, in order to protect the dharmam, or when the adharmam increases, at that time, this satyam, Brahmam, Sachidananda Brahmam, will accept a form, and a form or a body with a name, and will come here, and making it very clear to us, his appearance is not like our birth. So, in his case, when a form comes like that, even before the appearance, it's all decided. What is decided? For what purpose he is coming? And after the appearance, what all he has to do? All these things are planned before his coming here, before it is decided, right? And for what purpose he is appearing, he is fully conscious of that when he comes, right? And he also knows who he is and what all he has to do here. All these things are known to him when he comes here. So it is with that knowledge his birth is, unlike ours, right? Look at our case. We don't know who we are first, right? We don't know who we are. And for what purpose we were born, also we don't know. Then what all we have to do here, also we don't know. And this is the way we take birth. Whereas in his case, he knows who he is. He knows for what purpose he is coming. What all he has to do here. And he knows who he is. And for what purpose he is born. And what all he has to do here. All these things are known to him when he is coming here. In our case, we are talking about all incarnations generally. It's like that. Whereas in our case, we don't know who we are. We don't know why we have come here. And for what purpose we were born, and what all we have to do here, that also we don't know. This is how we are coming, we are forced into this world with this situation, like this, right? So, that why? Because avidya has covered us completely, right? So, due to that, our swarupam is taken away from us. Swarupa bodham is not there. We don't know who we are. And therefore what happened? We are become individuals, personalities. This personality has come from this. Because of that avidya only. Otherwise personality has no meaning, right? And then we are born with, under the control of karma, laws of karma, right? Laws of karma. So, every moment, the ajnanam that is present inside us is creating a situation for us in different ways, right? For what purpose we are born here, we don't know. And we also don't know who we are. And what all we have to do, karmam, also we don't know. And at every day, in every step, this avidya inside us is causing the create problem for us in our progress in spiritual path. In the spiritual path. This is our situation, right? So, whereas in Krishna's case, all these problems don't exist, what we have got. When he comes here, he knows who he is. And when he comes here, he also knows for what purpose he is coming. And he also knows who he is. Full conscious who he is. Sachidananda Brahman he is. That awareness is always in him. And when he comes here, he knows for what purpose he is coming. Dharma samsthapanarthaya, to establish dharma. And all what he has to do, he has already planned before he came, and he will just execute that with the support of Maya. That's all. So his coming and our coming is so different. We come here without any knowledge. We don't know who we are when we come here. We don't know who we are. We don't know who we are, first thing. We don't know what we have to do here. And whatever happens, and we don't know what karma we have to do here. Our duty, we have no idea what all we have to do here. And without any control on our appearance or disappearance, or birth or death, we have to leave this world. And we have not come here to establish dharma either. We only came here to cause problems for Krishna. That's all what we have done, isn't it? So, so that means Krishna's knowledge, jnana shakti, the realized state that is never touched by Maya, nor touched by avidya. And in every step what he is doing is fully supported by Maya, whichever way it is required, and our situation is totally different. Look at the next verse. That's what is spoken in the next verse. Yen Maya Cheshtidam Pumsa Stidi Ulpatyapeyahi Anugraham Tan Nivrte Atma Labhaya Cheshyade Yen Maya Cheshtidam Pumsa Stidulpatyapeyahi Anugraham Tan Nivrte Atma Labhaya Cheshyade. Why, whose appearance and by whose pastimes actually he is showing compassion to the jivas who are rotting in this world, right? And one whose activities are a compassion to due to compassion. And it is karunyam, mercy to the jivas to take advantage of that. And such a person by whose activities is for the benefit of the jivas, how such a great person will be controlled by karmam or by janmam? This, that is all paratantrada. Paratantrada means being forced to do something. Not out of your desire, but you are forced to do something. That is called paratantrada. Ekadasham also says this. Yavatsal asudandratum tavad isharado bhayam. Yavalsyal gunavaishamyam tavan nanatham atmana nanatham atmano devat paradandram tadevahi. In the 10th chapter, I think, Krishna says this to Uddhava. Yavalsyal gunavaishamyam tavan nanatham atmana నానాత్వం ఆత్మనో యావత్ పారతంత్రం తదేవహి. పరతంత్రత కమ్స్ వెన్ వీఆర్ అండర్ ది కంట్రోల్ ఆఫ్ మాయా. పరతంత్రత మీన్స్ వీఆర్ ఫోర్స్ టు డూ థింగ్స్ విచ్ వీ డోంట్ లైక్ ఇట్ బట్ వీ హ్యావ్ నో కంట్రోల్ ఓవర్ ఇట్. దట్స్ కాల్డ్ పరతంత్రం. అండ్ వెన్ డస్ పరతంత్రం కమ్స్? వెన్ వీ ఫాల్ అండర్ ద త్రీ మోడ్స్ ఆఫ్ నేచర్. సో ఎన్ మాయా చేష్టితం పుంసం స్థితి ఉత్పత్తిపేయాయి అనుగ్రహం తన్నివృతే ఆత్మలాభాయ చేష్యదే. Because all these pastimes, creation, maintenance, dissolution, all these pastimes is to for us to become free from this bondage. Yeah, srishti, sthiti, samharam, and because we get free from that, for us to come back to our spiritual state, right? So I'll stop here for a few minutes and then we'll finish that. Chedo darpanam arjanam bhavamaha davagni nirvapanam shreyakaidava chandriya vidaranam vidyavadho jivanam anandam budivardhanam pradipada purnamrada swadanam sarvatna swabanam varam vijayade shri krishna sankirtanam నామ్నామకారి బహుదా నిజ సర్వశక్తి తత్రార్పిదా నిమిదా స్మరణేన కాల ఏదాదృశీ తవ కృపా భగవన్ మమాపి దుర్దైవమీదృశమిహా జనినానురాగాహం తృణారభిషునీజేన తరోరభి సహిష్ణున అమానినామానదేన కీర్తనీయ సదాహరి మదనం నజనం నసుందరీం కవితాం వా జగదీశకామయే మమ జన్మని జన్మనీశ్వరి భక్తిరహై దుగిత్వై అయి నందతనూజ కింకరాం పతితామాం షమే భవాంబుదౌ కృపయా తవ పాద పంకజ స్థిత ధూళి సదృశం విచిందయా నయనం గలదశ్రుధారయా వదనం గద్గదరుద్ధయా గిర పులగైర్నిజితం గదావభూ తవం నామగ్రహణే భవిష్యది యుగాయుధం నిమేషేణ చక్షుషా ప్రావిశాయుధం శూన్యాయుధం జగల్ సర్వం గోవింద విరహేణ మే ఆశ్లిష్య వా పాదరదాం వినష్టు మాం అదర్శనాం మర్మహదాం కరోదు వా యథా తదా వా విదదాదులం వడో మల్ప్రాణనాథా సునయేవ నాభరా సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద. ఎన్ మాయా చేష్టితం పుంస స్థితి ఉత్పత్తిపేయాయహి ఉత్పత్తిపేయాయహి అనుగ్రహం తన్నివృత్తో ఆత్మలాభాయ చేష్యతే. సో కృష్ణస్ అపియరెన్స్ ఈస్ ఫర్ హెల్పింగ్ ద జీవ. బికాస్ త్రూ దర్ అపియరెన్స్ ఆల్ అదర్ పాస్ టైమ్స్ is karunyam, it is Krishna's karunyam for the jiva. That means an opportunity for the jiva to understand the reality, what the reality is, and in that way able to free oneself from the effect of maya. And so that is what he is saying here, that avidya is covering us. And because of avidya, we are in this desperate situation where we are now. And because of that, first thing is, we don't know who we are. So, Rupa Bhodham, we lost it. Our identity, spiritual identity, we have lost it. Right? Then we became persons, jivas, individuals, in other words. And due to that, we are also under the control of karma, paradhinam. Karma paradhinam, it is called. Paradhinam means, we don't control the karmam, karmam controls us. Isn't it? Right now, karmam is controlling us. Whatever karmam we have done is coming back to us, to bite us in good form, happiness and distress. Both what we get is result of the previous karmam. That's what Krishna is saying in the Agarsya Skandam also. Yavat syal gunavaishamyam thavan nanatya malpana nanatya malpano yavat paradandram tadevahi. Uddhava, it is like this. That this gunavaishamyam comes, three modes of material nature, when it becomes in an unbalanced state within, that means sattvam, rajas, tamas, coming one after the other, Tavan Nanatum Alpana. That's where you are feeling this Nanatum in the world. Nanatum Alpano Yavad. When that experience, Paradandram Tadevahi, Paradandrada has come. This subjugated condition like we have now. So, every moment life is experiencing this avidya within us, right? Whereas Krishna is not affected by any of those things, right? That is Krishna's position. And then he said that this Leela, whatever Krishna is doing here, which is done through Yogamaya, it's all for the benefit of the Jiva. Why? Jiva has been given an opportunity. It is for the sake of the Jiva all these Leelas are, right? Krishna doesn't have any bondage through karma like Jiva has. Jiva is bound by karma. So, therefore, we have this problem with the birth and death. Janmam maranam, jananam maranam. This continuous one after the other is due to this karma. Karma that is creating that, right? So, when devastation happens, pralayam, or devastation happens, our both gross and subtle body, they get dissolved when devastation happens after a very, very long time, right? But what happens is, the jiva with the subtle body goes and dissolves in Vishnu at that time. It dissolves in Brahma at the time when Brahma goes to sleep, for example, 1000 Chaturyugam, this Jiva will go and lives in Brahma's body, with the subtle body, will live there, right? So, at that time, in that 1000 Chaturyugam, when after the devastation we go into Brahma's body and we get dissolved there, we don't have a gross body. We only have a subtle body at that time, right? And because there is only subtle body, with the subtle body, you cannot achieve any of the four purushartham. Dharmam, artham, kamam, moksham. These purushartham cannot be achieved in the dissolved state for the jiva, right? So it is for purushartham to acquire, which means, again, it is spoken in different ways. One way of saying is that we are given a body for one reason only, bhogam moksham. Bhogam means we have vasanas inside us. In order for that vasanas to get through, we have to go through that experience. And that is how vasanas gets exhausted. Vasanas has to be experienced through karmam, and vasanas have to be we have to get through it and by experiencing it through prarabdham. So that is called bhogam. At the same time, opportunity given to us to work for moksha, to get liberated. So bhoga moksha. It is for that purpose the jiva has got a life. We are given a body, gross and subtle body, for bhoga moksha. Right? So, and at the same time, another way of saying that is, he is allowed to go through dharmam, artham, kamam, moksham, purushartham. Out of that, arthakamam is bhogam. Dharmam and moksham is one. Moksham. Same thing spoken in bhogam, moksham, they will say sometimes will say purushartham. If we say purushartham, it means dharmam, artha, kama, moksham. Out of that, dharmam is the foundation and moksham is the goal. But because one cannot, when you get a gross body, straight away you cannot get moksham. The process of execution of that is through artham and kamam. And you are allowed those things, what is required to, based on dharmam, you are allowed to acquire artham. Based on dharmam, you are allowed to experience, you are allowed to have the kamam. If you follow that, then you are entitled for moksham. That means artham and kamam has to be based on dharmam. Dharmam is the foundation of everything. So in order to establish that, for that purpose only pastimes, Krishna's pastimes, to teach us what is dharmam and how we have to live in this world based on dharmam, these principles, right? So, and gradually get to the level of moksham, right? It is for that purpose, all the pastimes, and also all creation, maintenance and dissolution, equally, for the same purpose. Srishti, Sthiti, Samharam, as well as Leela, is all for this purpose, to help the jiva to get through the purushartams. So, so Krishna's karma, whatever Krishna is doing here, is all for the benefit of the jivas, not for himself. He doesn't need anything from that. He doesn't have anything to do with it. On his own, he doesn't have to achieve anything from that. Right? You'll see. And to show to us that his pastimes are only for the benefit of the jivas is the next two verses. 59 and 60, if you look. Achauhini nam padibir asurair nirvala anchani bhuva akramyamanaya abharaya kradodhyama karmanya parimeyani manasabi sureshwarai sahasa sangarshanas chakre bhagavan madhusudanam. Achauhinam padibir asurair nirvala anchani. Many, many big armies, Achauhini sainyam armies, and big asuras who were controlling them, they were giving trouble to this Bhumi Devi, earth, right? So in order to all that asuras who were giving trouble to this earthly planet, for that purpose, because of their trouble, Krishna has performed such pastimes with Balaram, divine pastimes, in this appearance, to keep all those asuras under control. It started from the Gokulam Leela, started in Vrindavana Leela, Mathura Leela, and finally Dwarka Leela. All of them, right? Actually, all this can be done just by imagination himself. If he desires, it could have happened, right? But along with that, the idea was he didn't want to do it that way. He performed the pastimes by which devotees have got an opportunity to understand him better through these pastimes. Otherwise, you would have never known Krishna properly. So therefore, only for the benefit of the devotees, he has performed this. So first of all, he said 59 and 60 is to say this to the world, that his appearance is only for the benefit of the world or for the devotees, right? So all these leela, what Krishna performs, which is based on maya, is for the benefit of the jivas, right? Jiva requires mercy, Krishna's mercy, right? And Krishna doesn't have any karma bandham, no bondage through karma, right? And similarly, janmam, karmam, two things, right? First of all, karmam doesn't have anything to do with him. It is only for the sake of the jivas. All the karmam, leela is all karmam, isn't it? So all the karmam is for the sake of the devotees, for those who want to escape from here. Similarly, janmam, for him, one who is the truth, who is neither born, and who is eternal, for him what janmam? Janmam has no meaning, right? So, so these Srishti Sthiti Samharam and all the pastimes are for that purpose, right? And then he said that the so many kings came in the Mahabharata war and they got killed in that war, right? And they all had huge armies, right? And those kings who were giving a lot of trouble to people, like Jarasandha, Kamsa, There were many of them like that. Shishubala, Dandavakra, they are all a part of that huge gang of kings. When they started torturing people, ordinary people, in order to protect them and free them from their torture, also their armies who were helping them in doing that, Krishna has decided to destroy them all. That is that 59th verse is saying. Then even for the devas, they can't even imagine in their own mind. He performed such pastimes. Who it says there, Bhagavan Madhusudana. Bhagavan Madhusudana. That means he appeared for the devas as a child in this world. And then he says, he could have done all these things by his sangalpam. Just by he wanting it, it would have happened like that, right? But instead of that, he decided to do it, and by which people get to know him. And for that purpose, he has taken these incarnations, Krishna and Balaram. And that is the next two verses, 61 and 62. Kalau janishya mananam dukkha shoka tamo nudam anugrahaya bhaktanam subunyam vidanodhyasham. Kalau janishya mananam dukkha shoka tamo nudam. Kaliyugam means dukkham and shogam. This is what's on offer here. There's no other special offer. This is all on offer. Dukkham, shogam. This is the nature of Kali Yugam. There's nothing you can do about it. Kalau janishya mananam dukkha shoga tamonudam. Right? People who take birth in Kali Yugam, they will have these two constant companions, always in distress and always lamenting. Always in distress and, oh, I couldn't do this, I couldn't get that, I couldn't get that. This lamentation constantly going on. That is shogam. And always feeling distressed in life, right? And actually they are not real. Neither dukkham nor shogam is real, right? Why do they come then? Ajnanam, avidya behind it. Avidya causes that in us, right? So in order to destroy, in order for the people who are born in Kali Yugam, who have to go through dukkham and shogam, and in order to, and which is caused by avidya, in order to destroy that and to give them happiness, Krishna appeared here for that purpose, and for that purpose he wanted his fame to be spread everywhere. His fame to be spread everywhere. That's what he's saying. Kalau janishya mananam dukkha shokha tamonudam anugrahaya bhaktanam supunyam vedanodhyada yasmin self karna piyushe yashas tirthavare sakrit shrotra anjali upasprashya dunude karma vasanam. One who gets absorbed in that, Krishna's pastimes and Krishna's glories, Krishna's activities, Krishna's appearance, everything related to Krishna. If one gets absorbed in that, and he absorbs his mind and the ear in hearing that, if he does ajamanam with that, he says, all his karma vasana gets destroyed. In other words, if he gets, again, the same thing what Shubhramashi is saying, it is spoken in another way here. Shubhramashi told in the beginning, isn't it? Tasmal sarvatmana rajan. Hari sarvatra sarvada shrodavya kirtidavyascha smartavyascha chadabhayam. That smarana, what he spoke in the beginning, that smarana is spoken in another way here. If one somehow or the other absorbs in Krishna all the time, yasmin sat karna biyushe yashas tirthavare sagrat shrotra anjali upasprishya dhunide karma vasanam. What it does is, it takes away the karma vasana from a person. Avidya, kamam, karmam, karmavasana. And due to that bondage, we will become free from that. That is what he is saying here. Right? సో కలి కలి కలియుగం ఎవ్రీ వన్ ఫుల్ ఆఫ్ డిస్ట్రెస్ అండ్ బికాస్ ఆఫ్ అవిద్య వేరస్ కృష్ణస్ పాస్ టైమ్స్ అండ్ కృష్ణస్ ఇన్స్ట్రక్షన్స్ ఆర్ ఏ రిలీఫ్ ఫార్ ది టు బికమ్ ఫ్రీ ఫ్రమ్ దట్ అవిద్య అండ్ త్రూ హిస్ యాక్టివిటీస్ ఆర్డినరీ పీపుల్ ఆర్ దోస్ ఆర్ గోయింగ్ టు టేక్ బర్త్ ఇన్ కలియుగం ఫార్ దెమ్ దేర్ దుఃఖం డిస్ట్రెస్ అండ్ దేర్ అవిద్య ఇన్సైడ్ అండ్ ఆల్ అదర్ మెటీరియల్ సఫరింగ్స్ వాట్ దే ఆర్ గోయింగ్ త్రూ ఇన్ కలియుగం అండ్ అవిద్య విచ్ ఈస్ రెస్పాన్సిబుల్ ఫార్ దాట్ హీ వాంటెడ్ టు రిమూవ్ దెమ్ అండ్ గివ్ దెమ్ హ్యాపీనెస్ ఫార్ దాట్ పర్పస్ హీ పర్ఫార్మ్డ్ ఆల్ దీస్ పాస్ట్ టైమ్స్ అండ్ త్రూ దాట్ పాస్ట్ టైమ్స్ హీ బికేమ్ గ్లోరిఫైడ్ బై ది గ్రేట్ పర్సనాలిటీస్ రైట్ సో ఆల్ హీస్ పాస్ట్ టైమ్స్ ఆర్ ఫార్ దాట్ పర్పస్ అండ్ దోస్ పాస్ట్ టైమ్స్ after he has performed them that form disappeared even though form disappeared the pastimes did not disappear the pastime remained in the bhagavatam so and that pastime made him famous because through that pastime krishna's presence in the world was never forgotten through those pastimes right So, and in Kaliyugam, those who are living now and those who are going to come in the future, they will get an opportunity to remember these pastimes, Krishna's pastimes, and through that they will feel a relief for their material suffering, and ultimately by absorbing these pastimes, they get an opportunity to go back to him. So the purpose was not only for those devotees who were present there at that time. That was not the goal alone. Not only those devotees who appeared at that time, but for those who are going to come in future. Even they will be able to utilize Krishna's pastimes for their benefit, right? And so that was the sankalpam behind it. Those who have participated in the pastime, they all got the benefit in Krishna's pastimes. Those who have participated, they all got the benefit. All the demons got back. All who died in the Mahabharata war got back. They all got released, isn't it? But Krishna's idea was that it should remain in this world so that in future also, after Krishna's disappearance from here, the form has disappeared. For many, many generations who are going to come afterwards, they also get the opportunity to take advantage of those pastimes, right? So, So Krishna appeared on his own, for that appearance was supported by Alpa Maya. That means referring to that Yoga Maya, right? That was spoken earlier. You remember that? That Alpa Maya it is called in the 57th verse. Na hyasya janmano hetu karmano vamahi pade Alpa Mayam vineshasya parasya drashtura Alpana. Those verses. Yeah? So all these verses is the tattvam behind Krishna's appearance, right? Then after that, in the 59th verse, he said that these great kings, they have with their huge armies, they were attacking each other, fighting, right? And due to that, people were suffering, right? And ordinary people who have nothing to do with this kings, kings were deciding who should fight whom, right? So basically they didn't have any peaceful life here. So so in order to give them some relief, Krishna appeared with Balaram, right? And wanted to relieve this world from the burden of these kings who were a problem for the earth. And Krishna destroyed all of them with Balaram and blessed the devotees in that way. So, in that way, this Anugraha Leela it is for the benefit of the people, right? So, so Krishna had one sankalpam in this. What was that sankalpam? Sankalpam means there was a behind all these pastimes, Krishna had this goal behind it, or principle, idea behind it, that through these pastimes, many, many generations in future will also get the opportunity to hear about it. And by hearing them, they will also get attached to the truth. Krishna is the truth, isn't it? Absolute truth is Krishna. So they should also get the benefit. That sankalpam also was there in this leela, right? That they could also get the advantage and become free from the suffering and from the avidya, and they also should go back, right? So this rule that all the pastimes of Krishna is to help the devotees who wants to take advantage of it, and by absorbing in Srimad Bhagavatam and in the pastimes, that they will get the benefit of that smarana, what Shukha Brahma Rishi said to Parikshit. Smarana is possible. If Leela is not there, what smarana can you have? So it is for the sake of smarana, all these Leelas were spoken, different pastimes, right? So this is the purpose of the Leela, to help our smarana, what he said to Parikshit in the beginning. Yeah. But this rule applies to all other incarnations as well, not only Krishna's incarnation, Ramachandra and all the other, all incarnations practically, everyone, right? So due to one incarnation, it was not only meant for that particular time, but for future as well, right? Gets benefited. But Krishna's pastimes, which is spoken more elaborately, is also for the benefit of everybody. For those who wants to become free from the from the cycle of birth and death, right? Why? Because this avatar appearance and all the leela pastimes, if one does anusandhanam, anusandhanam means constantly remembering them, constantly remembering them, through that they will get the opportunity to leave this body and go back to Krishna. That is the benefit, right? And not only for them who were present at that time, even for many, many generations who is going to come afterwards. And this is why you can see Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken 5,000 years ago. And since 5,000 years ago, since then, how many great devotees have come and took advantage of Bhagavatam. And through Bhagavatam they returned from here, right? So, Yasmin Sat Karna Piyushe, 62 verse. Yashas Tirthavare Sagar Shrotra Anjali Upasprasya Dunide Karma Vasanam. Krishna's fame is like Ganga River. It flows all the time. And one who takes a little bit of Ganga River, water from the Ganga River, he will feel the benefit from that. Similarly, if one gets attracted to Krishna's pastimes or Krishna's beauty or Krishna's sweetness, which can be either Namam, holy name, or form, Rupam, or leela, pastimes, whatever it may be, if one gets attracted to it somehow, then he becomes free from avidya kama karma. And he becomes free from samsara material existence. So Krishna's pastimes have that potency to free us from our karma vasana. In Bhagavatam it is spoken that when you hear these pastimes properly, you will feel that somebody is pouring the nectar in your ears. So that is so sweet, is Krishna's pastimes, and it is like a tirtha pravaham, that means a flow of holy river flowing like that, right? And ajnani, one has only one opportunity, that he's, if he consumes this tirtham in some form, either leela or rupam or prema madhuri, venu madhuri, rupa madhuri, leela madhuri, all these are sweet, sweetness of Krishna's, different sweetness in different forms. One through the form, one through the leela, one through the Krishna's playing the flute, what is spoken there. Leela Madhuri, Venu Madhuri, Rupa Madhuri, form also, Namam, also the holy name. One of the other, right? If he gets attracted, then he will become free from his connection with this material world, material existence. That connection will be broken, right? So, connection is due to what? Karma Vasana. Karma has bound us. Karma created this bondage, right? So, what is binding us to material existence is this karma vasana in us, right? So, if somehow we got attracted to Krishna, and if our get attracted to Krishna's form or Krishna's leelas, that's all required, right? And if that happens, that fame of Krishna, if it pours into the ear, and similarly Krishna's pastimes, everything, then we will lose our taste for karma, and karma vasana will go. And at that time, that experience comes to us, Krishna's presence inside, and bondage through material existence is finished. Karma vasana finishes. And this is the same thing in the first canto, in the second chapter. Sudha Goswami said, Vidyade hridaya grandhi, chidyande sarva samshaya, shiyande chasya karmani, drishto eva atmanishwari. That is the same message. That's what is spoken here. Vidyade hridaya grandhi. First of all, attraction to Krishna, in either way. And all these things are in the Bhagavatam. Which one? Prema Madhuri, Leela Madhuri, Venu Madhuri, Rupa Madhuri, the sweetness of all Krishna's different, Janmam, Karmam, Leela, all of them, their sweetness, if you want to understand, you have to hear that from Bhagavatam. When you hear that, what happens is, Vidyade Hridaya Grandhi, that Hridaya Grandhi will break. Chidyande sarva samshaya, all doubts will go away. Kshiyande chasya karmani, you will become free from the karmam. And then, drishto evatmanishwari. It is in the first canto, second chapter. It is in the Ishopanishad, the same words repeated. So then, again the same thing is spoken in another two verses, 63 and 64. Boja vrishni antaka madhushura sena dasharha gai shlakhani yahida shashwal kuru sranjaya pandubi siddha smidekshidodarer vakir vikramalilaya nurlogam ramaya masa murtya sarva sanga sarva angaramaya. These are all the different kingdoms, bhojas, vrishnis, anthagas, madhus, shurasenas, dasharhas, kauravas, sranjayas, pandavas. They were all involved in one way or the other in Krishna's pastimes. And Krishna, through his beautiful smile and his beautiful eyes, and his speech, right, and his activities, and through various things what he has done, he gave happiness to the whole world in that way. That's what he's saying here. So, all these races, they are all Yadavas, but they are different branches of the Yadavas. All these mentioned here, right? They are all Yadavas. And apart from that, he's saying here that Krishna's sweetness, his smile, and his glancing on others, and his sweet talk. Similarly, Pandavas glorify him in different ways. And all these things, his conversations with different devotees and pastimes, people got absorbed in that. And in that way, 65, 66 and 67, the three last verses comes there. First verse talks about his beauty. In his ears, Magara Kundalam, the two drops in the ears, and that's reflecting on his cheek. Then in the smile, sweet smile of in his lips, right? In this way, his beauty of the face, Krishna's face, any amount of time you see that, you are still not satisfied. You want to see it again, right? And that itself is a festival for the devotees, right? And people were completely enamored by that, that beauty of the face. And because the eye, our eye, we have got this eye, what do you call this?
Eyelids.
Closing and opening. They didn't like it because they couldn't see Krishna all the time. Because when the eyelids gets closed, right? And then he says that Krishna appeared in Kamsa's prison. From there he went to Vrajam. First he went to Gokulam, and then from there he went to Vrindavanam. And some anugraha leela, some leelas he performed in Gokulam and Vrindavanam for the benefit of those who are living there. Afterwards he went to Mathura and killed Kamsa there. Then he moved to Dwaraka and got married there in Dwaraka. And he gave birth to so many children. And then he performed Yagam also. And through his wonderful pastimes, he taught people about Sanatana Dharma, what Sanatana Dharma means, right? And finally, he says here, poor people, ordinary people, in other words, who are not, who have come here and they're going through their life in this world, right? In order to free them from their suffering and give them happiness, he decided to destroy all of them, many of the great power kings who were giving trouble to them, in one stroke, and that was Mahabharata war. So, Bhumi, in order to reduce the weight of the Bhumi, Mother Earth, he brought that, created that war for that purpose, Mahabharata war. And he created the two sides also, Kauravas and the Pandavas. And then he himself took the Parthasarathi role as a charioteer for Arjuna, and he destroyed everything in that. Through that Mahabharata war, he relieved the sufferings of the ordinary people in the world and created shanti, peace in their mind. Ultimately, he gave the knowledge of the self to Uddhava, and through Uddhava to the world about the knowledge of the self. In that way, pravritti leela and nivritti leela. All the pastimes are pravritti leela, what he has performed there. And nivritti leela is what was spoken in the Ekadasham, right? So through pravrti leela and pravrti leela and nivrti leela, through both of them, the Sanatana Dharma message or the Vedic knowledge, Vaidika Dharma message, he established it again, and afterwards he took away that form from this world. Completely taken away the form from here. So, those pastimes which he performed and the fame what it has created, he left them here, and he had this intention behind it. Those who want to take advantage of it, he left them in the Srimad Bhagavatam for our benefit, right? So, and Krishna disappeared. In this way, in a very very condensed form, in three verses, end of this ninth canto, Sri Shuka Brahmarshi spoke to Parikshit, right? And in the next two cantos, the same thing what is spoken in these three verses is spoken elaborately from appearance to disappearance. Krishna's appearance to Krishna's disappearance, and all the pastimes what he has performed in 121 chapters. And that is the 10th and the 11th canto. Sri Shiva Brahmarshi is going to talk about it. 90 chapters in the 10th canto and 31 chapters in the 11th canto is all about Krishna. And all these things, what was spoken in these three verses, in an expanded form, in a much detailed form. That is what he is going to talk. So, so that is the end of ninth canto. Yeah. So, Sri Dharajarya Swamiji, when he begins tenth canto, he says that, yatra yatra mama chitta pangajam, tatra tatra tava komalam babu, yatra yatra mama vak prakashade, tatra tatra tava nama sandadi. Sargam we saw before in the second canto when he began. It was said there, if you look into the second canto, 10th chapter. Interesting, 10th chapter. He said, Deshamasya Vishuddhyartham Navana Mihalakshanam. What is the goal of 10th canto? He says that. At the end of second canto, Deshamasya Vishuddhyartham. Second chapter, 10th chapter, second verse. He says, Deshamasya Vishuddhyartham Navanam Ihalakshanam Varnayandi Mahatmanam Shuden Arthena Chanjasa. In the first verse, the 10 features of the 10 cantos, what is discussed in the Bhagavadam is mentioned there. Sargam, Visargam, Sthanam, Poshanam, Uti, Manandaram, Ishanukatha, Nirodham, Mukti, Ashrayam. Yeah. So, Dashamasyam, Sarga, Visarga, Sthanam, Poshanam, Uti, Manandaram, Ishanukatha, Nirodham, Mukti, Ashrayam, which are the 10 topics of the Mahapuranam, Bhagavata Puranam, spoken. Then he said, Dashamasya Vishuddhyartham, Navanam Iha Lakshanam, Varnayandi Mahalpanam Shudena Arthena Chanjasa. It is this for the sake of Dashamasya Vishuddhyartham, for the sake of that, for Navanamiha Lakshanam. In order to understand Krishna of his Swarupa Jnanam, which means self-realization, in another way of saying that, right? It is for that purpose, through these pastimes, again saying katha, studi, upadesham. Three things. In through those three things, it is spoken. Yes? So, then if you look from there further, in that this These first few verses in the 10th chapter is important because they are the one who talks about each canto what it does, right? So if you go further, go into the 6th verse and see what it says about 10th canto. Nirodhasyanu shayanam Altmanam Altmana Saha Shakti Bhi Muktirhi Tanyadharyupam Surubena Vivastidi. You see? So the 6th verse is saying that Nirodha means Nirodhasyanu Shayanam Altmane Saha Shakti Bhi Muktirhi Tanyadharyupam Surubena Vivastidi. When the living entities goes back to Krishna along with their subtle body and dissolve in him, that is called Nirodham, right? But if you have a subtle body and you are dissolving, that means you are coming back again. But if you have become free from subtle body also, which means I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, kartrutvam, bhoktrutvam, ahanda, mamada, if all that goes away, means subtle body is gone. If they leave you, and in a natural way, if you go back to Krishna and get your Sachidananda identity, that's called mukti. So you see those two lines. Nirodhasyani shayanam altmana saha shakti bhi muktihi tanyadharyubam surubena vyavastiti. This is a famous verse. Muktihi tanyadharyubam surubena vyavastiti is Bhagavadam. Bhagavadam take helps us to understand that what does mukti means? Mukti means anyadharyubam tektva surubena vyavastiti. That is called mukti. Anyadharyubam tektva. What is anyadharyubam? Anyadharyubam means you have subtle body. If you have subtle body, it means you have anyadharyubam. When you have subtle body, you will identify with the body. And your karma vasanas are there. You have not become free from that. All that things are there inside us. That is what is called, what we call it here as the anyadharyubam. If you have given up that, mukti hitva anyadharyubam. If anyadharyubam goes away, means subtle body has gone. And what happens? Swarubena vyavastiti. Then you get back to your swarubam, which is not different from Krishna's swarubam. We become pure consciousness then. We become free from bondage. Material existence is over. Maya has gone. Subtle body has gone. Gross body, of course, has gone before that. But this identification with the subtle body and through that accepting different body, those things have already left. We have become free from all of that. So that is what that verse is so important. Nirodhasyanu shayanam Altmanasaha Shakti Bhi Muktihritanyatha Arubam Sarubena Vyavastiti. Sarubha Vyavastiti is what it is spoken there. Then then he mentioned there that the Abhasascha Nirodhascha Edascha Dhyavasiyate Sa Ashraya Param Brahma Paramalmedi Shabdyade. This we taking shelter of whom? That from whom this creation has come, this maintenance and destruction all happens. And all this is happening because Parabrahmam is behind it. Yeah? That he's saying Parabrahmam or Paramatma in all these ways, who is present behind it, he alone is the shelter to become free from this. Right? Sa ashraya param brahma paramalmedi shabdyade. So in that 6th verse he said, Nirodhasyanu shayanam saham shayanam altmana saha shakti bhi muktihi tanyadharyubam surubena vyavastiti. So muktihi tanyadharyubam surubena vyavastiti is referring to Ekadasha Skandam. And abhasascha nirodhascha edascha dhyavasiyade sa ashraya param brahma paramalmedi shabdyade is dvadasham. Dvadasham. Ashrayam is Krishna. Parabrahmam, al paramalma, whichever way we address that, right? So that is how this 10th canto begins, right? In the 18th chapter, in the 9th canto, if you look at that, you will find something there interesting. Verses 49 and 50. We have discussed that before, but it is something to be remembered. 49 and 50. Yasmin idam virajitam vyomniva jaladavali naneva bhadi nabhadi sopnamaya manoratham tamev hridi vinyase vasudevam guhashayam narayana maniyamsam nirashira ayajat prabhum. The Brahmam, Sachidananda Brahmam. In that Sachidananda Brahmam, this creation manifests, appears, right? And disappears, which was mentioned there. And compared that like the clouds coming and clouds disappearing, right? Even though clouds come and go, the space is not affected by that. Only thing what the space does is, it gives space for the clouds to come and stay for some time and then they disappear. Similarly, in pure Sachidanandam, our mind and senses are operating, and due to that, we have these two states called vacant state and the dream state. And at that time, senses and the mind are functioning, right? And we experience the presence of this world. But this can only happen because behind that is Sachidananda Brahma. Paramatma is present there. That is why this whole magic is happening of this thing called the way the mind and the body, the senses are interacting with the world. This can only happen in the background of the presence of Sachidananda Brahma, Paramatma. So, vacant state, where the senses and the mind are present, and dream state, when senses goes away, only mind is working, and Sushupti, where senses and mind both disappears, along with that the world also disappears. And the same thing with the Samadhi also. So this Nanatvam means, now we are feeling so many things existing here, isn't it? So many things are existing. We feel that they exist. They exist. Different names, different forms, different objects, right? All this is a part of this creation, right? So, when the creation is there, we feel that they are all existing. They are all existing. But if you really analyze it deeper into it, you can see there, ultimately they all are Paramatma only, which we have spoken there. Like, they are all made of 5 material elements. One element comes from the other. If you go back in the reverse way, you reach, finally, everything comes from Brahman. So actually what exists here is only Brahman. But at the moment we are perceiving the world in the form of Nanatvam. Or that means in the form what we perceive as so many things exist in that way, right? So, strictly speaking, even though the world is present like this in front of us, in this way, in reality it doesn't exist. And that is what he is saying here. Naneva bhadi na bhadi. Understand that verse, because they are very important verses. He is saying here, naneva bhadi. That means senses, mind, vacant state and the dream state. When they are there, only then the world is there. When you have senses, when you have the mind, and when you are in the vacant state, or when you are in the dream state, Only then the world exists. In samadhi or in the sushupti, when both the mind and the senses goes away, then nothing exists. World doesn't exist, right? So when the mind and senses are present, Maya is able to show to us and make us feel the existence of this world. But Maya cannot do it on its own, because behind that is Paramatma, Brahman, Chaitanya behind it. So when we experience the world like that, what it means is, what has happened to us is, vikshevam happened, isn't it? It is the vikshevam power that has influenced the mind, which has made us to feel the experience of the existence of this world, for the mind and the senses. Remember this always, you have to break this separately all the time, because world exists only in the vacant state and in the dream state. In the vacant state, controlled by the senses. In the dream state, controlled by the mind. But once you go into sushupti or samadhi, it doesn't affect at all. Neither the mind nor the senses have any influence on you then. It's gone. The world has gone, they have also gone. So Maya can do this to us in the vacant state and in the dream state only because Maya has got this support from Paramatma Chaitanya behind it. Paramatma is behind that, right? So so that is why it is called a vikshepa. You have to look at all these things from the platform of the soul, not from the platform of the body. From the platform of the body, you won't understand. This is the problem. Most of the times, we are used to using our intelligence, isn't it? And we are only conscious of that. How to use our intelligence and solve the problem. That's all what we know in this world. Every problem that comes in life, what do? You deal with it through your intelligence. And you find a solution for it. You don't know anything else. Whether it is a material problem or spiritual problem, whatever problem it is. When problem comes, what you normally do? You use your intelligence, whatever we have. With that you try to solve the problem. And that finishes there, right? But this is not in that category. What he is saying here is, unless we understand this properly, that dream state and vacant state are victims of our senses and the mind. Senses and the mind controls the vacant state and the dream state. Nothing else. Senses and the mind. Senses interact with the world, the mind experiences the world, accordingly we make decisions and we get through our life. But once you go into deep sleep, sushupti, and to samadhi state, senses and the mind has nothing to do with it. They are finished there. They're gone, completely gone, right? So therefore, what it's saying here is that when the senses and the mind goes away, Maya cannot do anything after that with you. Neither in the sushupti, Maya cannot do much, because Maya cannot present at that time creation to you. Maya is not able to give you the effect of this world in you. It cannot create once you go into sushupti. And that power of vikshepam, vikshepa shakti it is called. You remember that, isn't it? Avaranam vikshepam. Vikshepam power is the one that makes us to think that this world is real and so many objects exist here. Those names and forms, all this becomes very important for us. Why? Because of that vikshepam. That's called vikshepa shakti. What is translated as deluding potency. Covering potency and deluding potency. Covering potency is avaranam, deluding potency is vikshepam. So this vikshepa shakti, power of vikshepam, goes away in sushupti and samadhi. They have no influence there, right? And with that, vikshepam shakti goes away, maya goes away, and therefore that world also goes away with that. So in this way, Sachidananda Brahmam, in that Sachidananda Brahmam, when this happens, right, when this happens, daily we are going through this state, Jagrat, Sopnam, Sushupti. Yeah. So when Jagrat and Sopnam, vacant state and the dream state, the world appear. And when you go into deep sleep, the world disappears. Sushupti, world disappears. Right? So, and it is that Sachidananda Brahmam, in whose presence all this Maya is doing all these things, that Sachidananda Brahmam, he is addressed as Narayana, Vasudeva, like that in the Puranam. And in the other Upanishads and other Shastrams, it is referred to as Paramatma in that way. Paramatma or Brahmam. Paramatma in that way. So when Yayadi, we were talking about that ninth canto, Yayadi had this clarity in him that the world is not real anymore in Sushupti or in the Samadhi state, right? So he is saying there that due to whose Maya, that is that verse there, 58th verse, in the 24th chapter, he says, due to his Maya, in the 9th canto, 24th chapter, if you look at that 58th verse, you'll see, that due to whose Maya, Leela, and the Leelas are performed, and for the benefit of the Jivas, he does not have any paratantryam. Paratantryam means he cannot have any paratantryam. Paratantryam means the one way we are being controlled, our dependence on that, right? Due to his compassion for us, he appeared here, and due to that compassion only, he performs all the pastimes, and it cannot happen to him. So, all these things, creation, maintenance and dissolution, all for the benefit of the jiva. It's all for the benefit of the jiva. And in the devastation time, jiva does not have any tools for working for liberation when the devastation happens, right? Because how do we escape from this bondage, entanglement? First of all, we have to do sadhana. In order to do sadhana, you require a body, isn't it? So, we don't have any tools to work for liberation during that state, time of devastation, right? So, and similarly, we don't have the shastram, which will give you the advice what sadhana to perform. Shastram is not available in the devastation time. Similarly, there is no spiritual master either in the devastation time. But when creation happens, the benefit is you get a gross body, you got senses, you get shastram, scriptures, for helping us for the knowledge. And then you get a gross bond, subtle body to perform this sadhana. All these possibilities are there only when you have when you are in the state where there is no devastation, when the creation happens. Only then this can be done. So this is the reason why creation is bhogam moksham. So in order to work for that, we require all these things, right? So when we get a human body, we get all the tools required to work for liberation, for the opportunity for liberation. So, and then what happens once you get a human form and you execute spiritual life or the sadhana, what has been given to you from the Guru, if it is performed properly, then he will eventually realize the self and he develops bhakti also along with that. So all this creation, maintenance, dissolution, pastimes, everything is for the sake of liberation at the end, right? Bhogam, moksham, to bless them. And it is for that purpose. So through creation, what happens is a jiva gets these tools, what he needs to work for liberation, which includes the gross body and the subtle body, the senses and everything, what is required for that. right? So, and in order, with those tools, gross body, subtle body, and the senses, everything, along with that, he also gets the possibility of a spiritual master, shastram, everything, and he will be able to perform sadhana as well. And if he executes sadhana in that way, all these things are helpful for that, to execute the sadhana. So, and for that, jiva in gradually gets liberated and enjoys, becomes free from the bondage. So, in order to, before we go into that 10th canto, there is a certain, this 9th canto's last verses are a preparation for that. To understand that, nirodham, nirodhasya anishayanam almanas saha shakti bhi. That is what is spoken here, right? That, that to understand that, this appearance of any incarnation, particularly Krishnavadaram, is for this purpose. Nirodhasya anushayanam atmana saha shakti bhi. Right? So, Krishna does not have any, he doesn't have to come here in the way he has come. He is not bound by birth, he is not bound by karma either. Right? So, even when he is coming in a form, he does not belong to that species. Like he has taken a human form, but he is not a human being. Whereas we, when you have taken a human form, we are very much human species. He is not in the human, that, see, understanding Krishna is a bit difficult. We think he is like us, isn't it? That's unfortunately, that's what happens. We don't understand really what is Krishna's actual position is. Krishna doesn't have to come here. He comes at his own will if he wants to come. He is not bound by karma like us. He is totally free from all bondage. And he, before he comes, he knows who he is. So he is in a totally different state compared to us. Whereas when we come here, we are always very proudly declare we belong to the human society. We always say this, don't we? And we say we have advanced, human society has advanced so much. All those statements, what does it mean? It means that we strongly believe we are human beings. That is very deeply embedded inside us, that we are human beings, isn't it? We are better than animals, sometimes we say. That means I am proud that I am a human being. I am better than an animal. Krishna doesn't think like that, that he is a human being, even though it is like a human form. That's another important thing to notice there, right? Karma vasana is not there in him. And he is not prompted by any ragadvesham from inside to do a particular karma, unlike us. We are completely controlled by ragadvesham, attachment and aversion. Accordingly, we do the karma. The karma, what we do, is on that basis. That doesn't exist, right? So, when he comes here, it's purely for the sake of others' benefit, not for him. He doesn't get anything from that. Only to give us a clue of what is the truth, what the truth is, right? And that is how that to be understood. This is a very important understanding about Krishna. You know the same thing in the Bhagavad Gita also, isn't it? Ajobisan avvayalpman. Bhudanam Isharobisan, Pragridim Swamadishtaya Sambhavami Alpamayaya. The same message is brought, but there it is put bluntly, the verse there. And then Janma Karmaja Medivyam Evam Yo Veti Datada Tata Dehamunar Jarman Edimam Edi Sorjana. Those verses, if you look. You will say Krishna's Janmam Karmam is difficult to understand, but one who understands it. In other words, all these things what is spoken here. If you understand it that way, then you are understanding about his appearance, you are understanding about his activities. Otherwise, you are thinking that he is also like us, he is also doing the same thing like us. You will get misled in that way. That shouldn't happen. That's what he's saying there. So, in that 10th chapter, ഹി മെൻഷൻസ് ദേർ അത്ര സർഗോ വിസർഗസ് സ്ഥാനം പോഷണമുദയം അനന്തരം ഈശാനികത നിരോധമുക്തി ആശ്രയം റൈറ്റ് സോ ടെൻ ഡിഫറെന്റ് ടോപ്പിക്സ് ആർ സ്പോക്കൺ ഇൻ ഭാഗവതം ടെൻ ഡിഫറെന്റ് ടോപ്പിക്സ് റൈറ്റ് വെൻ ടെൻ ഡിഫറെന്റ് ടോപ്പിക്സ് ആർ സ്പോക്കൺ ഇൻ വൺ ബുക്ക് ഇൻ വൺ വൺ കമ്പൈൽഡ് ബുക്ക് ten different topics are spoken right then how do you correlate each other sargam is spoken visargam spoken sthanam spoken poshanam spoken manandaram spoken ishanugada spoken nirodham spoken mukti spoken ashrayam spoken all separately in 12 cantos if they are spoken like that how do I connect them each other that question will come because normally That means, how do you see Srimad Bhagavatam as one book, one grantham, right? So, Egarupatvam. Egarupatvam means that, suppose if I read a book, any book for that matter, I should be able to say after reading the book, the message from this book is this. Then you can say, everything that is spoken in the book has connection to each other. Suppose you have a book which you read with 10 different topics spoken and if somebody asks me what is the message from the book, I will only say, look, 10 different topics are spoken in the book. So I don't know which one you are referring to, which one do you want to know? I will ask that question. In order that that shouldn't happen, that is why that canto was spoken specifically like this. That 10 different topics are spoken in this, but it has a connection between all the 10. And we have to understand that what that connection is between the 10 topics spoken in the 10 cantos, right? So otherwise it will just become a one book with various articles of different topics, right? So similarly you can see nowadays some people have written poetry at different times in their life. And at the end, somebody felt that you should compile all of them together in one book, all the poetry they have written, and they'll say, oh, these are all the poetries he has written throughout his life. And they are all different times, different topics he has written poetry, or different stories, different articles, like that. But Bhagavatam is not like that. That's what he's trying to say here, right? So, Bhagavatam is spoken about one topic only. What is that? Ashrayam. Ashrayam Param Brahma. Ashrayam is the topic of Bhagavatam. Ashrayam is the topic of Bhagavatam. That topic is being discussed from different angles, and that is these other cantos. Ultimate goal of Srimad Bhagavatam is what? Surrender to Krishna. There is nothing else to do. That is Ashrayam. Surrendering to Krishna is Ashrayam. And that Ashrayam is the only subject in the Bhagavatam. But to get there, you have to discuss that topic from various angles, and that is all the other 9. You see, that's the way Bhagavatam is structured. Unless the Sridhar Swami's discussions, this is all about, right? So, that is what he is saying here. Dashamasya Vishuddhyartham Navanamiha Lakshanam. The 10th one called Ashrayam, it is for its purity, for its realization, Navanamiha Lakshanam, all the other 9. That's the connection. This 10th thing called Ashrayam, it is to realize that Ashrayam, or to get that Ashrayam inside us, it is for that purpose all the other 9 things are Navanamiha Lakshanam. Dashamasya Vishuddhyartham Navanamiha Lakshanam. The 9 things are spoken for the benefit of the 10th one. To get the 10th one across to us. Ashrayam is the shelter. Krishna is the shelter. To get that established inside us, all the other 9 topics. Dashamasya Vishuddhyartham Navanamiha Lakshanam. Shrudayana Arthe. And that is done through Shrudayana Arthena Chanjasa. You will see they are mentioned. Dashamasya Vishuddhyartham Varnayandi Mahalpanam Shrudayana Arthena Chanjasa. Shrudayana Arthena Chanjasa means that that Katha Suti Upadesham, basically. These 3 things. Sudhi and Upadesham, one group, and Katha, another group. Either. As I mentioned before, Katha is spoken indirectly. Sudhi and Upadesham is more direct. But the goal is ashraya. Goal is ashraya at the end, right? So, that line is very important. Dashamasya vishuddhyartyam navanamika lakshanam. In other words, the vishuddhi of the tenth one, which is called ashrayam, it's vishuddhi. That means to get that clarity about its vishuddhi, purity or clarity of that in us, which is called ashrayam. It is for that purpose that this tenth canton, particularly Krishna Leela, Sri Krishna's pastime, and it is also said another way, Dashamaskandam is Krishna Leela. So, in order to understand the tenth canto, it is for that purpose you require some purity of the heart, and for that purpose all the other nine topics, Sargam Visargam, Sanam, Poshnam, Udi, Manandaram, Ishanigadha, all of that, Nirodham Mukti, all of them, for that purpose. People say like that. Some people say like that. Actually, that is not the right thing. Sridhara Swami doesn't agree with that. Sridhara Swami is saying there that this is people who believe that only 10th canto is important, nothing else is important. That's not in agreement. They believe that all the other nine things are for the 10th canto, and that is not acceptable. What they are saying is that in the second canto, when they said that, Dashamasya Vishuddhartham, when he said that, that Dashamasya doesn't have any connection with the tenth canto. It is not with that. So when you explain that verse, right, you have to be a bit careful that by reading that Dashamasya Vishuddhartham Navanamiha Lakshanam, when you say that, some people say it is for the sake of 10th canto, to understand 10th canto, all other things were spoken. And that is not true. What it's saying here is that it is for the sake of ashrayam, shelter, for that purpose. So, for the ashrayam, the vishuddhi of ashrayam, it is for that purpose, all the other things, we have to understand it like that. So, one misconception. So many people will say different things about it. Many people say, quite often people say, that it is for the sake of understanding 10th canto, all other cantos were spoken. It is not like that. It is for the sake of ashrayam, which is the 10th among the 10 things what were spoken there, sargam, visargam, sthanam onwards. It is for the sake of ashrayam, all the other were spoken. Which one? Sargam, visargam, sthanam, poshanam, udi, onwards. Right? So, vishuddhi means what? Vishuddhi means very good clarity inside us of the truth. To get a clarity of the truth. When you say ashraya means taking shelter means, it's not based on taking shelter, just surrendering that way. Not that way. That's not it is understood. What's understood is full awareness of to whom you are surrendering through realization, right? That jnanam, knowledge, which is mentioned here as so that ashrayam's clarity, to get that ashrayam properly inside us, surrender, to say ashrayam has many meanings in that sense. One of the meanings is to take surrender to Krishna. You can only surrender when you have clarity inside, proper clarity. So if you ask a question, what is the topic of discussion in Srimad Bhagavatam? Actual topic is ashrayam. Ashrayam is the topic, right? Ashrayam, what does ashrayam means? And that ashrayam is the one what is spoken in the next verse here, seventh verse. Abhasascha nirodascha edascha dhyavasi yade sa ashraya. You see? Abhasascha nirodascha edascha dhyavasi yade sa ashraya param brahma paramal vedi shabdyade. Right? So, abhasascha nirodascha. What does that mean? Abhasascha nirodascha. Upanishad says the same thing. Because people, when they talk from Bhagavadam, they don't connect it with Upanishad. And that is a big problem. Because then the Bhagavatam become very independent that way. And independently, if you start scrutinizing Bhagavatam, you will get into some wrong conclusions also. It should be in compliance with Upanishads. Only then it will all make sense. And that is why from... this is now 10 to 11. So, abhasascha nirodascha, we will stop there. Abhasascha nirodascha yadascha dhyavasiyade sa ashraya param brahma paramatmedi shabdyade. That is the discussion in the Bhagavatam. We'll discuss it next Saturday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Okay.